Shall we play a game?
Oh.
I think I missed him.
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love to. How about global thermonuclear war?
Wouldn't you prefer a good game of chess?
Later. Let's play global thermonuclear war.
Fine.
All right.
Which side do you want?
I'll be the Russians.
List primary targets.
Who should we know first?
Let's see. How about Las Vegas?
Las Vegas. Great. What next?
Seattle.
Yeah!
Now, coming to you from the CD Game Exchange Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
That's right. Hello, Joshua. I'm sorry, I don't even know what kind of accent that guy has in that movie. Hello, Joshua. I can't do it right now. I'm just doing I'm just doing Ben Kingsley in Sneakers. Hello, Marty. It's 3 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11 and it's the month of August of the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio, it's the Rick Emerson Radio program. It is Tuesday and welcome to Day 12. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you so much. All right, has somebody already sent you what it was? Did somebody message you?
No, I have no idea what it was.
Behold my advancing middle age. Oh, that's fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean horrible. See, I'm going back and forth in my mind about whether I expect you to know that or not. Because there's some movies that are sort of...
What year was it from?
1980 so long ago, I can't even remember. Jesus. 88? No, it wasn't 88. It was earlier than that. Like 85, maybe?
85.
Because that movie...
Is that before his most famous movie?
You do even... Okay, now I have to play it again. Let's see if you can identify Sarah Dillon. Nobody be a dick and, like, message Sarah with the answer. I mean, we'll give it away. We'll tell her in a second. I just want to see if you can get it. Because you know both the people in this opening. You have seen them in myriad things since then. They are still contemporary actors. Especially one of them. I mean, they're, but you've seen them both 100 times. One of them is still acting very regularly. But you know them both.
Shall we?
The computer is not one of the voices that I'm referring to, by the way.
Shall we play a game?
That's legendary.
Oh.
I think I missed him.
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love to. How about global thermonuclear?
Yeah, this was the second most
war. Wouldn't you prefer a good game of chess?
Later.
Is that Winona Ryder?
No, but sort of in the same general ballpark. Aaron is just tearing his hair out.
All right.
Wow. Which side do you want?
Boy, this is just stunning computer technology at the time, too. Remember when the Russians were bad guys?
Yeah.
Those were the days.
List primary targets.
Who should we know first?
The 80s were
How
weird.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Great.
I have no idea.
1983.
What next?
Seattle. Yeah!
I remember when I saw that movie.
It was a big summertime movie. Yeah.
And it was in Washington State when I saw it. And when they said, let's nuke Seattle, everybody cheered.
Were you in Spokane?
No, I was in Kennewick. But even in Kennewick, people hated Seattle. All right. I don't even know what hint I could give you. The girl is Ally Sheedy. She of the dandruff snow in The Breakfast Club. And of the later, the gripping thriller, Man's Best Friend. Okay, if I give you the cast, The girl is Ally Sheedy. The guy there, even though he sounds like he's about 5 years old and has no testicles, is Matthew Broderick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Doesn't sound anything like him, though. Because he was, I mean, even he sounds even younger there than he did in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But you said that was his second movie. What was his first movie?
The first...
Was it a made-for-TV film? Was he in a bubble of some kind?
Max Duggan Returns.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of something else. Max Duggan Returns. I'm thinking of, Aaron's on the phone right now. Says on screen, Aaron, pulling hair out. I'm thinking of Henry Elliott, who was in Cloak and Dagger with Dabney Coleman. That's what I'm thinking of. Boy, we have just taken a hairpin turn right down the obscurity lane here. Let me just say, by the way, you are listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503. We'll return to this inanity in just a second. It's 503-733-2970. 503-P-by-70. That is 503-733-2970. You want to call us today with your comments, your clarifications, your corrections, your 2 cents, your what have you. You want to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@RickEmerson.com, rick@RickEmerson.com, Sarah at 970.am, Tim at 970.am, or Scotty J at 970.am. And again, the number is 503-733-2970. Well, I should probably just say, because you're never going to get it, but before I do that...
I have no idea.
Let me just say, by way of an explanation, that I was unclear. Sometimes I come in here with about a 40% guess that you're going to nail something, and I never really know, because there's certain movies that just sort of get... There's movies that attain cultural status for reasons that you can't quite put your finger on, and then there's movies that you do sort of understand it because they do pinpoint a very specific moment in the American cultural development, and this movie is one of those. And it does seem to me that, like, for about 5 or 6 years, this movie, which is War Games, was played three times a day on TNT. I mean, I don't really know that's the case anymore. But it seems like War Games was played all the time on
TNT. That's what it was called?
War Games is the name of
that
movie.
I'd never even heard of that.
Oh, it burns! Really? War Games is a pretty legendary film in its time.
It's intense.
It really, I don't know if it's still intense. But you know what I did watch last night, actually, while I was looking for that clip? I was looking for this "Do you want to play a game?" clip at the beginning. What I did see, because I was looking on YouTube for it, and how weird. Oh, man, my whole brain is folding in on itself again. The weirdness of searching on the internet, on YouTube, to find something about War Games, which in its day was considered like the absolute peak of illustrative cinema in terms of computer advancement. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of weird when you think about it. The fact that to search out a movie about Matthew Broderick creating mischief on the then sort of nascent internets, that I am using technology that is like 1,000 times what Matthew Broderick's character in that movie ever dreamed of. Oh, it's freaking me out. If I was stoned, I would just sit in a corner right now all day and think about that. Think about me looking on YouTube for stuff about Matthew Broderick being on the internet and, like, you know, like a two-baud modem. All right, anyway, so War Games was a pretty great film in its day because it capitalized on the then-burgeoning fear of teenage hackers. And it was the first movie about children using the internet to get into mischief. And let's just test Sarah's cultural knowledge here. And this is not about the movie. This is about the cultural sort of zeitgeist out there. So he's a mischievous teenager, not really a bad kid, but, you know, sort of mischievous, who uses his computer to occasionally get into mischief. And Ally Sheedy comes over to his house, and he's like, "Hey, look what I can do with this computer!" And he does the old thing of picking up the phone and, like, putting the phone handset, like, in the big modem where you gotta, like, chunk the phone into it. What is the first thing he does with his computer connection to impress Ally Sheedy, with whom he goes to school?
To impress a girl?
Yeah, well, she comes over and she's like, "What can you possibly do with a computer?" And he's like, well, I guess she doesn't talk that way. But he uses the computer. He does a little bit of specific mischief with his computer.
Does he hack into the school system?
And
changes all this great.
Bam! There you go. That's what I'm talking about. See, she hadn't even seen the movie and she knows. You two could,
you're like
maybe Funky. You could totally go and become a Hollywood producer right now.
Well, because you're at the, it's totally plots like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
Well, I guess Weird Science, I didn't go into
it. It's a great movie, man. And then, but so the crux of War Games is that Matthew Broderick, as a hacker, hacks into some system and he thinks he's playing a game called thermonuclear war. He thinks it's like a war game, like a role-playing game or something, or like a game of Risk. And so he thinks he's playing like Risk online, when in reality, of course, he has actually hacked into the Defense Department computers and is actually about to start World War III.
Oh, really?
It's a pretty great movie. Originally written to star who? As Professor Falcon? John Lennon. That's right. There you go. You write that down, kid. 1983. It just came to me. Mm-hmm. 1983. Yeah, so John Lennon was supposed to play the part of Professor Falcon, and then he got killed, and so they had to cast that creepy-looking Norman Bates guy. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll get some phone calls here in just a second. People calling about the war games later on today. We have Lisa Goddard, who's going to be joining us about Karl Rove. Man, what a big... He just looks like a, like either marshmallows made out of men or men made out of marshmallows. I don't know which one. He's just a big, puffy, pink, hairless bastard. You know what I mean? He looks like one of those things you see on the Nature Channel about a hairless bird that's just been kicked out of an egg somewhere, and he's just a big, pink, and fleshy blob. That's what Karl Rove looks like. Goddamn, he's evil, though. Anyway, so we'll talk about Karl Rove. Jim Rupel joined us today. Apparently, China's trying to kill us with something else today. Today,
toys.
We really should have created a China watch so long ago. I think it's too late now. I think if we were to create a China watch, I feel like we're peaking right now. And as soon as we get it done, that's when the Chinese stories will stop. Yes, apparently the toys from Mattel are trying to kill us today. Thank you, China. Thank you for that. And there's another update on this O.J. Simpson book. So apparently the family of Ron Goldman has struck a deal to repackage and publish the O.J. Simpson book. And so I guess today they're going to reveal the title and the release date. So there's that. And then we're going to talk to Mark Shearer in New York because Madden 08, and I'm not really a fan of Madden 08. I don't really play a lot of sports games. But I know that there are dudes everywhere. There were guys in line around the block. It was sort of an internet or a video game Harry Potter. So there was a bunch of dudes in line for Madden 08. Don Geronimo, I think, it might have been one of those guys. So we'll talk to Mark Shearer about the release of Madden 08 today. 1 o'clock hour, we'll talk to our good friend Richard Cheese, who is playing at Dante's tonight. His final Portland appearance ever. They're doing their farewell tour right now. Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine.
And didn't you say that, like, sold out, like, right after he came on the show?
I talked to him, when was he on? Wednesday? Thursday? Something like that? Anyway, he was on the show, and apparently it sold out within, like, two... I'm not saying it was all us, but I think we did help with that, because he was on the show, and I think within a couple hours of being on the show, it sold out. So Richard Cheese, Lounge Against the Machine, tonight at Dante's. If you already have your tickets, good for you. If not, you may be hosed. Sarah and I will be there laughing at you as you stand outside on the sidewalk, clamoring for admission.
You bastard.
I don't know. What am I going to do? I can't get in. I have no pull. What am I going to do? I can get you in. I can't get anybody in.
I can't get anyone in either.
I can barely get my wife in.
I know. That's what I was saying. My friends are asking me. I'm bringing Raul. Are you bringing Lara?
Yeah, that's it. That's all the suction I got. I can bring my wife. So, you know, there you go. I'd like to think that I could bring a posse of billions. That's not really going to happen. Anyway, so Richard Cheese tonight. We'll talk to Cheese later on in the day's program. Today, Kiss giveaway. We got to do two today because I failed to do it yesterday. We are giving away Kissology Volume 2 on DVD. It is badass. So, and this will not be... We're not going to have another... This is more the Sister Christian unpleasantness. It'll be a decent contest because I will run it myself. We'll do that sometime today. We will do two copies of Kissology Volume 2 on DVD. What else is coming up? Well, that's pretty... It's the top five and some other stuff. But that's more or less it. Oh, and I got a big pile of news that you may or may not care about. So we'll get to that. Plus Tim Riley, the new news hour, and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. And we'll find out if the Peter Chris interview for Thursday is still on. And we'll see what progress Scotty J is making on booking Sarah Jessica Parker. Oh, he's also looking into that Oregon Association of Broadcasters thing.
Oh, I found out.
Really? Are they sending you the entries to judge, or do you have to
go listen
to them? Really?
Yeah.
Can we play them on the air?
I suppose we get them.
Well, they've already been on the air.
They're from Wyoming.
What?
They're from Wyoming.
Why is Wyoming in the Oregon Association of Broadcasters?
I guess they don't... Oregonians
do not judge
Oregonians.
Is this like some sort of daisy chain thing where we judge Wyoming and Montana judges Florida and
exactly.
Florida judges us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. It is pretty interesting, the idea of you judging a bunch of... just a bunch of cattle branders doing some morning show somewhere.
That'd be great.
Wake up with Dallas and Skip. All right, well, fantastic. When do you get those?
As soon as they get here.
Excellent. Are they sending them to you in the mail or are they emailing?
I believe they're coming in the mail.
All right. Really?
Yeah.
Way to embrace that bold 21st century technology, Oregon Association. I'm sorry, Wyoming Association of Broadcasters.
It is Wyoming.
WAB. WAB. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm excited for tonight.
It's going to be fantabulous. And I get did you get those cheese CDs I put over there?
I did.
I got a couple of those today. So that is tonight. Sarah and I will be introducing cheese on stage. Sarah will be looking wonderful. I will be looking like a dork in my AM970 shirt, which I wore today.
You are so proud of those AM970 shirts.
When have we ever had shirts before? When have we ever had shirts that obviously didn't just come out of a warehouse?
And you're already wearing the shirt.
I'm wearing the shirt today, so I don't have to change. I'm wearing this shirt right now.
So are you just going there right after the show?
He's doing a sound check this afternoon, and I'm going down to where I think we're going to tape a little, because he wasn't able to come in yesterday. He was supposed to come in last night, and we were going to do a little interview and a little in-studio set last night at like midnight and play back today, and he got in late, wasn't able to happen, so we're going to go tape a little something with him at sound check today, and then you and I have to be back there tonight to introduce him and so forth. And I just, you know, this way, if I get home and I can change, great. If I don't get home and can't change...
Are you perhaps driving downtown?
You mean today, after the show?
You mean, are you going back to your house and then going back downtown?
I don't know. Why? What am I going to be asked to do?
I desperately need a ride. I was going to take the bus downtown.
You mean to Cheese tonight?
Mm-hmm.
You can't take the bus to Richard Cheese.
I know. You're telling me. But Raul's tags are expired, and I need to re-register my car, so neither of us can really drive.
That's fantastic. The idea of you...
Maybe Scotty has a car today.
I don't know why that made
Scotty
me...
Scotty has a home.
I was just going to say, I don't know why that made me feel so awkward. I think Scotty's car may be his home today. So we'll find out here in just a few. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
A wrestler of Portland interest is dead. Millions more Chinese-made toys are recalled. Kids can die from eating them, and you know they will. Amos reaches a settlement with CBS and may be back on the air in New York City soon on WABC. The White House is downplaying Karl Rove's departure, but is saying, and that you can bet that Karl Rove came up with this, the president will be spending some time outdoors at his Crawford Ranch,
clearing brush.
In triple-digit temperatures. Not just regular temperatures, but triple-digit temperatures.
Is there some sort of weird superhuman plutonium-powered brush that grows down there?
I don't know. I think they put it out for him when he gets down there.
Do you ever see somebody who has a nervous tic, and when they're trying to just sort of not pay attention to you or distract you from something, or they're nervous, they always go back to doing a job that doesn't need to be done anymore? Like, my mom had this thing. Whenever she was nervous, my mom would start wiping down the kitchen counter. You know what I mean? And so, like, the kitchen counter already spotless. If there was some fight with my dad or she was nervous about something, she would take out, like, Windex or whatever it is you clean counters with and a rag, and she would and just start going after the kitchen counter like she was trying to sand it down to nothing. That's what George Bush is with the brush clearing. Every time he doesn't know what to do, every time he's left at loose ends, anybody in that administration needs to distract themselves from something or needs to sort of it's sort of like putting your fingers in your ears and whistling London Bridge so you don't have to pay attention to the real world. He just goes and he starts clearing away ragweed from around this house. Well, all right. So there you go. Fantastic. Scotty's asking us to get some AM970 polo shirts made. Oh, I'm sorry. Not just polo shirts. High quality polo shirts. Not going to happen. Didn't we have those at Max? What did they give us at Max?
No, it wasn't Max.
Oh, it was those.
You guys said, like, V-neck sweater things, and I got a really ill-fitting baby doll T-shirt.
I bet they like that. How do you feel about being on a calendar? Do you own a maxi pad? all right, let's see. Let's get these called. Hi, Aaron Geek in the City. Hello, sir.
Oh, man. The first thing you introduced me was that damn maxi pad scene.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten all about that calendar. Thanks for sticking that back
I
in
wish
my head.
You know, we can't find a copy of that calendar anywhere. That calendar that 1080 The Fan put out a year or so ago, where there's some girl who's supposed to, I guess, look all seductive, except that she's got a big pad showing right through her underwear.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Mmm, sexy.
Yeah, that just screamed hotness.
Maybe their next calendar could be nothing but taught Swedish boys.
Well, there's some local TV talent that might like that.
That's what I'm saying. All right. What's up, sir?
I can't believe, sir, you don't know War Games?
Yeah.
No, Aaron, I don't know War Games.
Well, okay. Nah, that just hurts my soul.
Yeah, I know. I'm unclear about whether War Games is one of those.
It's 83, so maybe I can give her a pass. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I was 3 years old then.
Yeah, but it played on USA for the next 12 years.
I don't think she ever watched USA. I think
Aaron,
that's
I didn't
another
have cable
did,
until
man.
I was older. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I think by the time Sarah was old enough to be watching TNT and to be watching those movies that are recycled endlessly, I think War Games had been supplanted by Sneakers. I think Sneakers is the new War Games.
Well, and War Games doesn't sound like a movie I'd want to watch anyway, because when
that's
I was younger,
true.
My dad would always just shove all these horrible War Games down my throat. My sister and I'd have to go see Gettysburg and, like, all this crap. So anything having to do with war, I wasn't interested in.
Well, it's not really about war. It's about wacky teen hijinks.
Well, yeah, I know, but
I can... I can understand how
sounds like it.
You'd see it in the TV guide and decide that's not for you.
Yeah, although when you're a kid, War Games is kind of a creepy movie.
It is. No, it's
because you're going to school in the 80s, like at the height of the evil empire, and you're here, you're reading about stuff in the textbooks, and then you go watch a supposed kid movie about juvenile delinquents starting World War III.
Well, especially because we sort of lived in the era, and I don't know, I guess now it's the Al-Qaeda, but we lived in that era where it's like the Russians were going to nuke us every day, like every single day. We lived under that, and I think it was probably even worse in some ways in the 80s than it was in the duck and cover era, because we had because the mass media had developed us to such an extent that they could just pipe terror right into your homes 24 hours a day with Steve Guttenberg and Jason Robards being attacked by nuclear weapons. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
A little day after reference for you there.
Yeah, no, you know what? I didn't have War Games on cable either. I had it in a badly, like... Remember, I used to rent two VCRs and just make video copies after
Yeah, movies. Excellent.
I had that, and my follow-up movie was Cloak and Dagger, so I could make an entire Dabney Coleman night.
Okay, let me just say this about... It's a Dabney Coleman night. Is that like Let's Go Out Back tonight? Let's Dabney Coleman tonight.
Let's have a Dabney night.
No one says that. What would your third movie in the Dabney Coleman night be?
9 to 5.
That's what I'm saying right there. Way to go. Mind meld, baby. All right, here's the thing. Once I say this, I swear to God, we'll start talking about something really, honestly relatable. I'll start talking about... the Malcolm in the Middle or Applebee's or something. The thing about Cloak and Dagger, which is the movie that Henry Thomas made right after E.T., Cloak and Dagger is not only a great Dabney Coleman film, not only is it notable as the follow-up to E.T. for that little kid, that Christopher Morris-looking kid, but it's also, A, the first movie based on a video game, and B, it has an amazingly creepy scene in it for a children's movie where... The villain is talking to Henry Thomas, who I think is about 10 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And then the villain is actually saying to this 10-year-old child, and then I'm going to shoot you in the kneecaps and just watch you slowly die. And I remember being 10 years old, and my mom took me, like, going, Jesus Christ, what are we watching?
Yeah, you get to watch a kid's imagination get blown away. And,
It just terrified me.
It does open with a live D&D game session with massive dice going down the alleyway, though.
Nerd. All right. Hey, real quickly, give a little pimping. Your 48-hour film festival movie plays tomorrow night.
That's right. The Geeks in the City team are showing. We're in Block B, so it's the 9:45 block.
9:45 at the Hollywood Theater tomorrow night.
That's right. Yeah, you'll see. First, you'll see Jared's superhero movie, and then our superhero movie.
Ideas.
And next year, we're going to do the crossover.
Excellent.
The rules.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. All right,
there you go. Hollywood Theater tomorrow night. Go check out the films from the 48-Hour Film Festival. Aaron's team made a superhero film. I haven't seen
it. As did yours, right?
We did, too. Not that we're being competitive about it. I haven't seen...
Totally competitive.
We are. I haven't seen anything but a still from his, but it does look great. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Okay, for Sarah's edification, let's do a little role play. You be Matthew Broderick.
Oh, no. See, I don't... Is this War Games?
Yeah.
I don't really know that I can do it, but okay.
You can do it, because this is the best quote from the movie. Okay. Who is the first to suggest asexual reproduction?
Oh, I don't even know. Now I'm choking. I don't know.
Matthew Broderick goes, I don't know, your wife?
Ha! Okay. All I remember is the creepy Joshua Professor Falcon stuff.
Yeah.
And then how I think Michael Madsen is in that movie too, and he's about 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That and it presages sneakers too, because it has that sequence where Matthew Broderick is breaking out of that high security room by using like his Walkman or something.
So. From sneakers, when Ben Kingsley says, "I can't kill you, my friend," and he turns to his henchman and says,
"Kill my friend." All right.
Bye.
Nerd, bye. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all of this. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Yeah, I built that computer for War Games.
No idea what you're doing. You mean you built a replica of that?
No, I built that Altair 8080 with the 300 baud.
The Altair. Good reference, sir.
Yeah, that was an Altair 8080, and it had a Baudo, what they call a acoustic coupler.
It wasn't, and there wasn't an Altair because the Altair had no keyboard. The Altair just had a series of switches on the front that you had to flip in the
door. Yeah, it had a PDP-11 interface, but if you look at the movie...
Oh, God, are you listening to this? Listen to what we've done. Listen!
Oh!
I built the interface, the keyboard, the whole nine yards. It didn't work, but All right. It was for the movie.
All right. Well,
that was 24 years ago.
Okay, you have to send me an email about that, sir.
Okay.
I want your email address. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. The Altair. All right. Okay, we have to stop. Do we have to break?
We really do.
Damn, I haven't gotten anything. All right. I haven't gotten anything except discussion of War Games, Altair, and, an Aaron superhero film. Yes? You got a horrified
Nothing.
Look on your face. I haven't even had
I don't want to say it on the air until I show it to you.
I haven't even had a chance to talk to Scotty. All right.
You're the one who scheduled somebody at 11:35.
At 11:35? Well, that means I have, like, 3 minutes.
I can make it a short day.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Hello, Scotty J.
Well, good morning, Otis.
Okay, how are you today?
Excellent.
All right, fantastic. So, I have to ask this because the people would come and they would lynch me if I did not. So, how were things when ye arrived home yesterday?
Well, my neck's a little sore from sleeping in the car, but... No, things are great.
You've gone so long without the crickets. Don't lie. Things are not great. I'm not trying to put a damper on things.
They're
better. They improved.
Yes. I think that your phone call helped, actually.
Now,
I really do.
It didn't sound like my phone call helped a damn thing. It really didn't.
It did because it kind of, it doesn't look like I'm saying... like I'm lying.
She sounded pretty angry.
She thought I lied.
Well, it sounded like
and
she
I
was...
I really didn't know
and this
what
not
I
a,
did.
I'm not trying to... This is not a pejorative on your wife. I'm saying it sounded like she was feigning ignorance. Do you know what I mean? Because I said, I want to clarify any misunderstandings about how Scotty got home. And then she said, I don't know what you mean. And so it sounded like she was... I hate to say this. It sounded like she was lying to us. Because she said that she didn't know what I was referring to, she did know what I was referring
to. And she brought it up
to
me many times.
She brought it up, I tried to smooth it over, and she, like, refused.
Well,
she refused
as
to even
you can understand, any wife, her husband says one thing and does another. I mean, it brings up some concerns.
Yeah, but
I think that's
I'm saying I tried to smooth
was.
It out. It was just difficult because I was trying to smooth it out, and she was sort of doing this playing dumb thing. And pretending that she didn't know what I was
about
talking
gardening,
about.
Well, during the smooth out, I think she was still a little uneasy, a little bit upset still. And as it progressed, I think it actually,
I should say that helped. I did my very best.
I think it helped.
I really turned the neutral diplomacy knob up to like 12 with her. I did my very best. So
I think it was just a total misunderstanding that I personally couldn't tell you how I got home. And so I said I just assumed that I left the station and went home. And she finds out a different story. It would make any wife a little bit upset, I guess. I don't even know if that's the word or concerned.
She was troubled by inconsistencies in your story.
Correct.
All right.
It doesn't flow over too well when it's
troubled.
Inconsistent.
Mistakes were made.
So if we talk to her again, are we still going to get that same kind of
standoffish
attitude?
No, I think she's
going to get the Mr. Freeze ray from her again.
I think some of that Mr. Freeze ray was directed at me, too.
Oh, no.
She didn't even know that you were in the room.
I know, but she knows I'm listening to the show.
She knows that you walk among us.
Do you think she's going to make you quit the show, Scotty?
No.
Okay.
I wear the pants.
Write down the day and time you said that. All right, back after this with Lisa Goddard, Mark Shearer, Jim Roop, Tim Riley, and all that you said. It's the Rick Emerson Show. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. More pointless Van Halen news coming up later. What else? Well, other things. It's 503. I want a snuff watch. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Plus two copies of Kissology Volume 2 on DVD. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. Ow. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, the one and only Lisa Goddard. Why, hello there, and how are you on this fine Tuesday?
I am well. The countdown now 2 days? Until the Kiss drummer?
Yes, that is well remembered. That is Thursday. That is a Tuesday. So all things being equal, I mean, I'm assuming that it's not going to fall through at the last moment. We do have sort of a unfortunate history on this program with certain rock musicians who have been booked on the program and then who fail to appear and appear to fail. So that's okay. I'm not worried. You know what it is, but I'm trying to keep it positive. I'm putting those thoughts out of my mind.
I'm keeping it real, Rick. You're keeping it positive. I'm keeping it real.
You shouldn't say that to people. I understand what you mean by that, but if I were you, I would try to avoid the phrase, I'm keeping it real, just like
I'm just a casual conversation. I'm poking fun at my own employer.
It's good that you can have a sense of humor about these things. Yes?
Yeah, she's doing a callback to CNN.
No, no, no. I understand.
That's very
that.
Clever.
I'm saying I understand the context in which that is said. It's you just don't want to get it put on a business card or anything, probably.
Right. Well,
Lisa Goddard, keeping
hopefully
it real.
I have choice. Let me look at my business card. No, it's not on there. That's good.
All right.
They might have. I was worried. They might have said that they're really into that. I was worried.
I was going to say, you go to the website, and that's what it says right there at the top.
I know.
So, and let me just say this. First of all, Karen Hughes, who is... Now, what does Karen Hughes do right now? Because wasn't she the campaign manager or something like that?
She was the communications director.
Communications director.
She was Toby, if you want a West Wing.
Well done. Excellent. And so Karl Rove is, you know, he's headed out and he's going to go home and, I don't know, spend time with his family and...
Killing
mice in the basement or something or whatever it is that he's going to do.
The flashlight, yeah, I don't know.
Is this a thing where if he had left 2 years ago, you suppose his legacy would be a lot stronger? Has he hurt his legacy or his future marketability by staying to this sort of low point in the Bush administration?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I would think that the last 2 years altogether have been bad, and I think if he'd left 2 years ago, it might have been worse because it would have sort of said, the minute things really go far south, I'm out of here. You know, it would have been a sign that he wasn't willing to stick it through when times got bleak with this president. And I think by staying these 2 years, it showed, yeah, some degree of loyalty that I think getting out 2 years ago would not have shown.
And he's going to be, I mean, it doesn't affect him in a certain way, though, because it seems like Giuliani, Rove is going to be one of those guys who, however divisive a figure he may be, he's got such benchmark credibility with a huge part of the populace that guy can go out there and he can just tour, you know, he can just do 30 grand a pop speaking tours for the rest of his life, regardless, you know, I mean, of all else.
That's right. It's true. And his that crowd that likes Karl Rove is a crowd that generally has more money. And it really doesn't take a lot of you don't need to be popular with a lot of people as much as you need to be popular with the right people.
That's
Karl Rove is completely admired by the top layers of politics all throughout the Republican Party.
So the big question is, so now that Karl Rove is leaving, is there somebody who's going to be replacing him as the architect?
Right. I don't think there will be a new architect. I think that it sounds like they're still figuring that out, but perhaps what we're hearing from the White House is that they may sort of divvy up his duties among a bunch of, senior White House aides. And they're waiting actually to see who else leaves in the next couple of weeks because they have this deadline again saying if you're going to leave by Labor Day, otherwise stay until 2009. So they're waiting to see exactly who stays, who goes. Probably no one as big as Rove, you know, can leave, would leave. There really aren't that many figures that are as prominent as he was. But they're waiting to see the fallout from that, and then they'll probably divvy up his various duties. There's a possibility they may bring in someone like Ed Gillespie, very well-known Republican strategist, former head of the RNC, now working for Bush. They may move him into sort of a Rove-like slot. But, you know, since this White House is on its way out, it's everything is really changing, and they're not the political machine, nor do they necessarily need to be the political machine they were.
Hey, just a completely unrelated issue. Have you noticed that Elizabeth Edwards seems to be shooting her mouth off a whole lot more than she used to?
She's sassy.
About like every 5 or 6 days now, there comes some phrase from Elizabeth Edwards that clearly, I wonder, have they designated her as like the kneecap man for her husband's campaign?
I think the Tanya Harding, as it were.
Well, whoever it was.
The Edwards campaign?
Let me just say this. She wouldn't be the Tanya Harding.
Who is the guy?
I will lay it all out for you. Edwards is the Tanya Harding. Obama is Nancy Kerrigan. Elizabeth Edwards is the Jeff Gillooly.
Oh, Jeff Gillooly, can't believe I blotted that out of my mind.
That's because he changed his name and he's now legally known as Jeff Stone. So these are all things that we keep careful track of all these things here in Portland.
I'm very impressed.
She said that thing last week about, well, the problem that John has is I can't make him black or make him a woman. And then this week, she said she called, I forget the actual phrase, but I will paraphrase. She said that the problem that, in her opinion, the problem that Obama has is that he is
Holier than thou.
Holier than thou, and I think she also called him insincere, but said he was holier than thou, which is this some interesting new strategy for Edwards where he's not able to go out and say those things or he doesn't think he is, and so he just gets his wife, who is unassailable because she seems so Tammy Wynette baking cookies, so he just gets her to go out and say this hideous thing that gets into the press and it doesn't have to come from him?
There are a couple of thoughts on the Edwards camp. I think most everyone recognizes that the two Edwards are really a full-fledged team, and that John Edwards completely respects his wife's opinion and seeks her advice, and they really work in unison. So it does seem possible that this is actually a strategy, that they realize they've got to go on the attack at this point because he's number three, but they don't want him to have to do it, especially with his reputation as a trial lawyer, all of that. You know, they just don't need any more negatives for him at all. But she, having tremendous, tremendous positives, at least, you know, about a month ago, is a good candidate for that. That's one school of thought, and I think there's a lot to that. I think the other is that Elizabeth Edwards generally, you know, remember, they met when they were both in law school together. So she's no shrinking violet. She is someone who is and has always expressed her opinion pretty forcefully, and I think it's in her character to be a little bit feisty, but she's also a Southern woman, and so she's politely so generally. I think this holier-than-thou comment from Obama was something we hadn't heard from her before, but she's going after him, basically saying, hey, look at you who are trying to chastise everyone who voted for the Iraq War. You weren't there. You don't know what it was like to vote on that, and my husband has apologized for that. Let's talk about what we're going to do now. I think they realize that they do have to go on the attack, and there is some strategy there, but I also think it does go along with kind of the person that she is to defend her husband. I think she really, truly believes that he's the best candidate, and I think she really feels it when, A, he's not doing well, or when someone like an Ann Coulter character attacks her or her husband.
I think that they probably figured out by now that the momentum is so much with Hillary. And should Hillary Clinton, you know, if she just, you know, was hit by a meteorite tomorrow and was removed from the, you know, removed from the race, then it would then be just by default, I think all the momentum would go with Barack Obama. And so it seems to me like they figure out that they got to just beat the water as hard as possible to get attention and make some noise, or they're just going to get completely run over.
The interesting thing here is that Edwards is doing fantastically in Iowa. That's been their strategy all along, and Iowa will have, we think, the first votes. By law, Iowa has to, but the schedule's just a mess. I don't know if we've talked about this, but because South Carolina has moved up their Republican primary, because Florida moved theirs, and then South Carolina said, oh, no, we're going to be first, so they moved theirs, and now New Hampshire's going to have to move earlier if they want to be before South Carolina, so then New Hampshire moves up, and then Iowa's going to have to move up as well. Some people are worried that Iowa would have to, in order to make that work, move into the middle of December so that they would avoid the Christmas holidays. The governor of Iowa said, no way, we're going to keep it in the 2008 calendar year, but it's going to be very early in January, it looks like. So anyway, it's likely to be the first contest. John Edwards is doing very well there, and it's interesting how, if he wins there, how that could shift, that's their hope, national polls. So, you know, it's not as clear. Those national polls, Hillary is so sky high, she's so ahead of everyone else, but it's not clear how these state races are going to play. With chicken and egg, which one's going to influence which?
Right.
Will the national polls change Iowa, or Iowa change the national polls? Not clear.
Before we sort of part ways today, I'm going to play a little something here. Please tell me now if you can identify this movie clip.
Shall we play a game?
Oh, yeah. Come on, it's easy. That's War Games. Matthew Broderick. Classic.
Oh, fantastic. You have see, and I know that for a while you've been laboring in the shadow of this Harry Potter comment you made a few weeks ago about reading the last page first, and you felt like you had blown some of your... spent a little of your geek capital with the audience here. I got to tell you right now, you have captured it all back, and you are plus five again.
All right, I'm going to go for the bonus points here. I really think I might get this wrong. Was the computer's name Joshua?
Well done. Well, look
awesome.
At you. Now you're just
Joshua.
Showing off. You know what you're doing?
Or Jeremy. I couldn't remember. Joshua. Sweet.
You're spiking the ball now. That's what you're
sweet.
Doing. This is a little bit of... This is what you're doing that thing. Who was that guy? Was it Terrell Owens? Who was the guy that was not just spiking the ball? It's like he went into the end zone and he took a Sharpie out of his pocket and signed the ball.
Oh,
yeah. Signed the ball. See, that's like me getting a sports thing is like, you know, is like Sarah getting some computer thing. Question right here. Terrell, who took a pen, he took a Sharpie out of his pants and signed the ball in the end zone. That's what you were doing just now by nailing that Joshua thing. Well done. Congratulations, Lisa.
I'm nervous about that comparison, but yes, thank you.
No, you totally made it. All right, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. That was, she was showing off. That's totally what that was.
Well, she had some points to make up for.
That's true. That was a little showboating. Okay, we've got Chad here. This is Chad, the guy who had offered to kiss Scotty's ear should Scotty smoke. You know, because we've been all, all convinced that Scotty was going to be sleeping on the roof of his house, we haven't actually bothered to follow up on the smoking thing, which we really should. We really ought to do that. Let's see, before we, Scotty, if you can join us in the studio. Hello, Chad.
I'm not Chad. I don't want to kiss Scotty in the ear. That's just wrong.
Why does it say Chad on the screen?
I have no information.
For the love of
Christ,
right, hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. Why does it say Chad on the screen?
Chad was on hold. I was busy doing the podcast. You were talking to Lisa. Every once in a while, I'll glance to the left. And
oh, I see. And that's so it's been replaced it's by... Just, okay. Well, yeah. Who are you, sir?
Well, I am listener Jeff.
All right. How can I help
you? And I've called from far-out areas such as Duper and Bend and Redmond.
Yes.
Oh.
I was in Appleton, Washington, which is like go to White Salmon, then keep going, then go up in the sticks, past the sticks, up to the boonies, and then you're in Appleton. And I could hear you.
Oh, really? So you just, yes. so our footprint, as they say, was omnipresent.
It, yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. Thank
just
you, sir.
I'd let you know.
All right, thank you, my friend. All right. Hi, Scotty. So we have to ask this now. Have ye smoked since
no,
you quit smoking?
I have not.
All right. He maintained eye contact that time.
I've learned so
he's
so
learned.
Been polishing his lying skills.
Polished.
So I should know, again, that you did attempt to smoke on Friday, and we did stop
well,
you.
Well, you know, were you guys, like, waving it in front of me and tempting
no,
me with it?
No, or? Somebody said the word cigarette, and you're like, I'd love a cigarette. And it is true. It is true. I forget how it even came up, but you were just like, I love one of those.
I listened to some of that podcast, and some of that singing was a little ridiculous.
Oh, your night, some of it, yes. Yeah. The rest of it was the rest
some of it was okay, though.
The rest of it, you were Placido Domingo. Yeah. So that was when you were singing your Night Ranger. Yeah. Is that when you were explaining what Sister Christian was about, that it's about a guy buying a big house?
Apparently
you
so.
Remember saying that?
No, I don't remember.
You were sitting along
past,
with
like,
Sister
the
Christian.
1 o'clock hour, I guess.
Somebody asked you what Sister Christian was about. It might have been me, but somebody said, what is Sister Christian about? And you said, well, it's about a guy who's motoring to buy a big house.
Leaving his love behind.
Totally. He was just kind of turning into Mr. Creosote behind the microphone. All right. Thank
no
you,
idea.
Scotty.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Dennis.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, not much. I was just going to say the double spike on the ball would have been the nickname for the computer, Joshua, which was?
Oh, the Whopper.
There you go.
All
you
right.
signed the ball for.
All right. Thank you.
Bye
now. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Chad. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I was
this
on hold
Chad.
For a while. I had to hang up
right,
and go
okay.
do something.
Yeah, the phones kind of swirl around into just an amorphous sea of red over here. What's up?
Well, you know, just you know, Scotty's made it a month. And he's having some trouble at home, being a 41-year-old intern for the show and doing all the wacky stunts.
Now, to be fair, he's not an intern. He's now.
Well, that's true.
He's now
a production assistant. No,
production assistant.
No, he's some title that he made up for himself.
Chad, what is
to
it?
Be
production
fair,
assistant director.
Program
production
assistant.
Assistant director. Yeah.
Yeah. He's actually now, really, when you think about it, he's actually now lower than an intern because he's actually a member of the show. Yet still doing more than he was as an intern, so yes.
Right on. But, yeah, I just, you know, since he made it a month, I want to officially retract my offer.
Okay,
I'm no longer willing to kiss him on the ear.
You're no longer willing. Is this just because you're afraid of Mrs. J and her wrath, should you kiss him? Be honest.
Well, I did meet her, and I would not want to meet her wrath any more than I'd want to meet Sarah's, so, yeah.
Well, okay. Fair enough. Thank you, sir.
All right. Good day.
Go. Bye, Chad.
I think she scared him straight, so to speak. Let's see. Thank you. No, thank you so much. No, you're too kind, really. Let's see. Do I have any music to bring on, Mark?
This is my new face.
No, I've got.
Oh my God!
That's the K2
face. You put that in?
Yeah, I finally found it, but that's not what I thought it was.
Oh, as your woodcock.
No, I don't have anything. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City, Mark Shearer, CNN Radio correspondent extraordinaire. Hello, sir.
Where's my music?
I'm sorry, I don't... Wait, hold on. Wait. Well, I'll just use this. And now, from New York City. CNN radio correspondent Mark Shearer.
Oh, I like that. This just in.
Yeah, there you go. We'll use that in a pinch until we find something else for you, sir.
All right.
Hey, so Madden 08 came out. Now I'm not much of a sports guy. I don't really play a lot of sport video games or anything. But I know that Madden is. I don't even know what release this is now. This is like the 10th, 12th, 50th, something like that. They've been putting it out forever. Was there a line like around the block? It was just like a line up at midnight to get a thing, or was it just a pre-order thing?
There was in New York City, and I suspect in other cities as well, although I cannot confirm that. But compared to the lines that line up for a Harry Potter book or a Star Wars film, it wasn't quite that big. But for a video game, it was a pretty exciting night.
And so what is a copy of Madden 08 retail for?
Anywhere from $30 to $60, depending on the game game platform that you're going to run it on.
I mean, the question I always have about this is I wonder what percentage of this Madden himself takes home. Like, is it a flat fee? I mean, at this point, he's got to be getting a piece of the back end on this or something.
One would hope so, but I'm sure a lot of the revenue went to the NFL some years back when they got the exclusive rights to NFL names and faces.
Now, is that true? Is Madden the only pro football game in which there are actual real NFL players and teams?
Yes. I believe there's another game in which there are Hall of Fame players, older retired
right,
players.
Right, right.
But this is the only active one, the only one approved by the NFL, and it's huge among gamers.
Did you go and see any of the guys in line?
What, are you crazy? It was midnight.
All right. Your journalistic endeavors only go so far.
Really?
Excellent. All right. What is this expected to do? Do you know how many of these are going to sell in the first week? How much money they're going to make on it?
Last year, the first week of Madden 07, last year sold more than 2 million copies. That's pretty good.
That really is. All right. Well, clearly I was born into the wrong field for this. Because not like anybody's going to be licensing my face for a video game anytime. There's not going to be some sort of, there's not going to be some news talk radio, the game or something. So that I got nothing. I'm out in the cold on this. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
All right, CNN radio correspondent Mark Shearer, embittered in New York. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Look at this. We're all caught up. We're on time. It's fantastic. Rick, let's see. Aaron says, I again, heart, Lisa Goddard. All is forgiven. Anybody can say whopper, but knowing that the computer is Joshua, I am loving her once again. Fantastic. It's just my final War Games observation. And then we're done. And we have moved on.
Do you think I'd like this movie?
Oh, it's a great movie.
So should I go purchase it at CD Game Exchange?
Yes, you should, Sarah.
Well, because I told you, I don't rent anymore.
No.
I just have stacks and stacks of DVDs at my house, though.
But, you never need to go out and get anything ever again.
If you
want something, it's always right there. The War Games is great because it is, at its heart, it's a wacky teen sort of, not romance, although clearly there is, like, a romantic subplot. But it's sort of like a junior version of Sneakers. It's very much like that. And there's no actual, really real war in it. It's all nerd war. Because, again, he thinks he's playing some online Risk game. And then they cut to these scenes of the Defense Department, like, the Russians are attacking, and there's like a whole, there's a whole thing where they think they're being attacked, and he's got to convince them that it's really whatever. And then it escalates to, I will just say this, because if you're going to see it, I want to give away the ending. But last night when I was looking for this clip on the YouTube, shall we play a game, the first thing that came up on YouTube was the climactic sequence in the NORAD control room. And everybody out there knows what I'm talking about. Geeks know what I'm talking about. And that is still just as freaky, I think, as it ever was. It's pretty, the way that it's shot and those light flashes that happen, it's pretty amazing. That finale of War Games is still pretty stress-inducing. It was probably especially so in the 80s when we were all convinced that the Ruskies were going to nuke us at any second. But it was, it was pretty unnerving even just watching it last night, and that's like a good 25 years after the fact. All right, we'll break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley is preparing news for Around the Corner. Later on, CNN radio correspondent James Roop will join us. We'll talk to Richard Cheese. We'll have the top five and giveaways of Kissology Volume 2 on DVD. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Came to Babylon, found out that the pie don't taste so sweet.
Hey,
take that back about Sherilyn Fenn.
She did grow up to be a little bit more masculine looking.
Shut your mouth.
You know it's true.
I don't know. Here's the thing. Here's why I don't know it's true. The last thing I saw Sherilyn Fenn, and maybe this is just as well, if what you say is true, Sarah, if indeed that is your name.
No, I'm saying she's still beautiful.
But when you say she's masculine.
You said that Ali Sheedy turned out to be
a little more masculine. There are no masculine women who are beautiful.
No, Sherilyn Fenn is beautiful. She was actually on Dawson's Creek. That's when I saw her. She played a restaurant manager that Pacey Witter used to work at.
Here's how this all started. Is that we have to, like, a nerd bell someday that we ring. Which, bing, every time there's, like, some nerd reference made. I have, like, one of those ring for service bells somewhere. I was noting that War Games is when Ali Sheedy was still really cute before she kind of grew up to be very sort of butch-looking. That's kind of my thing. She just grew up to be very sort of, like, if Neve Campbell really let herself go for a couple years, that's kind of what Ali Sheedy looks like. She ought to be living in a commune and growing wheat germ somewhere. You know what I mean? Living with a bunch of people called Raindrop. And so you then noted that Sherilyn Fenn from, from Twin Peaks grew up to be sort of Now, when you say, you don't mean handsome. When you say masculine, do you mean like masculine like Kathy Bates or masculine like Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2?
More like Linda Hamilton.
Oh, see, that's just hot. She just became
pointier. Like, you know, she was very soft and feminine looking, very beautiful. Yeah, she's kind of angled out.
She was also in, here's why I love her, because she played, her name is escaping me now. She played Astrid in Backbeat, which is one of my all-time favorite music films. Have you seen Backbeat?
No.
Oh, you got to see that.
But she was also in Just One of the Guys.
Oh, no, really?
Yes, she was. She played the main girl's little brother's girlfriend who had a crush on the girl when she was dressed as a boy.
God, we're retards. Thank you. The Rick Emerson thank you for pulling the ripcord. 970 Solid State
Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A Portland teenager has done 1,714 cartwheels in 1 hour. It may have earned him a spot in the Guinness Book of World Records. His name is Ivan Gostanovich.
He's done what?
1,714 cartwheels in 1 hour.
That's not possible. I call shenanigans on that right now. That's not possible.
Now,
it can't
be done.
No,
the 18-year-old will shatter the old record.
No,
he was trying to break the most cartwheel records in a minute record.
No.
So he may have done it.
No, he hasn't.
We don't know who counted these.
No one counted them. No one counted that many because it can't be done. It's impossible.
You got to feel terrible if it's true.
How old is he?
18.
Nah, I don't feel bad. If he was like 9 and I made him cry, I'd feel bad. But I don't feel bad about that. That's not possible. Let's end this nonsense right now. It didn't happen. You would think of how many in 1 hour?
1,714.
Okay, that's 1,700 cartwheels in an hour.
Plus 14.
An hour is 3,600 seconds. Okay? If I'm doing that right, and I think I am. That's 3,600 seconds.
Yes.
1,700 cartwheels in 3,600 seconds is effectively a cartwheel every 2 seconds. So here's my question. Where did he do these? Because you would have to have one long, unbroken expanse of ground that went on for miles and miles and miles. You would have no time to turn around or to adjust your trajectory. You couldn't do them on a football field. You'd run out of room at like 200-300. And then you'd have to turn around. You'd have to be doing one every 2 seconds, and that gives you no time to augment or change your trajectory. And so he would have to have a vast, unbroken expanse of ground on which to do these cartwheels. And that's why I say it's crap. It didn't happen.
Well, let's find some story you might like better.
No, I'm having fun dwelling on this. I'm waiting for someone to push back. Come on, someone defend him.
Well, we don't know that he didn't do it.
Okay, fine. Fine.
You may be listening right now.
Rolling this stone up a hill all by myself, then. Trying to stomp on this young man's dreams.
Why are you
and you're
so
not
angry?
Helping. Because it didn't happen. It's made
up.
I
mean, there are other things going on in this world to get madder at than a child doing cartwheels.
Not for me. Next, coming up in tomorrow's Rick Emerson Show, I take candy from a baby. Can you hand me that story?
I didn't print it out.
Did you read it off the screen? You didn't even care enough to print it out, and here I am going apoplectic over it?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic.
I'll print it out for you if you want it later.
I'm just saying.
You can tear it to pieces. And stomp on it if you want to.
Can I shred it?
Sure.
I should start shredding those stories that I don't care for. That's fantastic. That's speaking of which, I still got to buy myself a. I still got to buy myself a shredder. I
just did some shredding this morning. I woke up early.
Shredder.
I barely knew her.
Now, do you? Now, have we talked about this before? How is it that you make sure your dog does not get into mischief with the shredder? Is your dog just smart enough, or do you keep it locked away?
No, I put it on the kitchen counter.
Oh, so it's elevated.
Yes. Well, that way you don't.
Isn't that unsightly? Having it on the kitchen counter.
Well, who's going to see it at 5:30 in the morning? It's not that I have people traipsing through for coffee.
What I'm saying is does it live there permanently?
No.
Oh, you only remove it from its storage place to put it on the counter.
That is correct.
And then you put it back in storage.
Mm-hmm.
Battery powered or plug-in?
Plug-in.
Hmm. Seems like a lot of work. And I don't really know that I have a place to store it. I have to store it in the basement. I'd have to shred in the basement. But, you know, that might work, actually, because then, A, I feel like a spy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shredding things in the basement at 2 a.m. I should make sure my neighbors see me. I should make sure that my neighbors see my silhouette shredding things madly at 3 in the morning. And then I should just have a bunch of shovels and a big bag of lye out front for a while. And also because my dog can't get into the basement. He doesn't know how to navigate the stairs. It's kind of cute, actually. He stands at the top, like we'll be downstairs, and I'll be down at the bottom of the stairs in the basement, and if I happen to be eating something, some sandwich or whatever, and if I'm walking downstairs to get something, he stands at the top of the stairs, torn between his desire to come and pester me for the sandwich and his Ed-209-like inability to navigate the stairs. It is kind of cute.
I saw doggy steps on sale yesterday.
You know, I keep meat where?
Walgreens for $10.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I keep meaning to buy those because his legs are just going to go like kindling any day now. So I got to do that. All right.
Wait, if I go back there, I'll buy them for you. But I'm going to have to ring them on the max.
Does it look like the crazy dog guy?
Yeah.
Fantastic. If you do that, I'll. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick.
Mary.
I know that you've got your heart set on making that boy cry.
Yes, I do.
Day
is not complete until he weeps.
No, I saw him on the news, and he was doing it in a circle. He just...
You can't cartwheel in a circle. That's absurd.
Maybe you can.
Rick,
maybe
I'm just... No, that yeah. was just for effect just now.
Rick, where's your vivid imagination?
I'm sorry. I left it at home. Okay, so he cartwheels in a circle? How is that even... Oh, so I'm... Here, you know what it is? I'm confusing cartwheels with somersaults.
Of course you are.
Listen to the scorn. Listen to the mockery. So, in other
words... Who's going to be crying now, baby?
In other words, he's not cartwheeling in a straight line. He is cartwheeling in an angle, so he just loops around.
Yeah, he's just doing this big tumbly, he's a big human triangle, just going doop 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 in a little circle.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. You missed it.
Does he vomit at some point?
No, he's just a young, virile, limber boy... Just tossing and turning about.
This is my new.
You sound a little. You sound a little aroused by him there.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Okay, bye now. Thank you. That's Mary. That was Big Souk, ladies and gentlemen.
This is my new face. I had a facelift.
Yes.
And so did Shannon.
And by the way, you look great.
You look gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like a taut Swedish boy.
I beg your pardon?
You're like a taut Swedish boy. You're like 14 years old. It's a gorgeous
look. I didn't.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, someone else who likes to pick on poor defenseless children who can't defend themselves, Don Imus, has reached a settlement with CBS over his multimillion-dollar contract and is now negotiating with New York's WABC to resume his broadcast career there. Now, this isn't about setting up a network again. This is just one program on one station. Imus and CBS reached a settlement that would preempt the dismissed radio personalities, threaten $120 million breach of contract lawsuit. I mean, how could he possibly live long enough to spend anywhere near that?
And the idea that he's being paid $20 million not to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so great. You know, there's any number of people out there who just clamor for that. He's being paying $20 million to stay home, effectively. But there is a non-disparagement clause, right? Like, he can't... He'll get $20 million. He just agrees not to get on a ream CBS wherever he next lands, if it's WABC or wherever.
Now, just before his dismissal, Imus signed a 5-year, $40 million contract with CBS Radio. And Imus planned to sue CBS for $120 million in unpaid salary and damages. So now it looks like he's talking to WABC.
So, and the other breaking news, of course, now that means that along with Katie Couric, CBS now has $34 million. Before it was $14 million. Now they have $34 million that they need to pay out with no revenue coming in to replace that. So.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, we're making money here.
I was just going to say, sure, that won't come out of our end somehow.
No.
No. Okay.
So, a couple of other local things. A car has plowed into a house at Northeast 31st and Fremont. And a Portland police officer has been involved in a crash in North Portland at Widler and Vancouver. Authorities are investigating the death of a famous wrestler who used to live in Portland. Brian Adams. Not the summer 69
Brian
guy.
Adams.
Yeah. Not the same guy you're thinking.
No.
Also known as Crush in the pro wrestling circuit, was found dead in Florida. Cause of death hasn't been determined. He's a native of Hawaii. He made his entrance into the wrestling world in the late 80s with the NWA's Pacific Northwest organization.
Oh, my grandmother watched that.
Okay, so you remember. He was a third member of the Tang Team Demolition with wrestlers Axe and Smash. After leaving the WWE in late 2001, Adams competed in Japan and then attempted a career in boxing. Let's see. And a mission from statement from his people says, whether he was beloved or jeered, Adams made a lasting impact on WWE and will be missed by superstars.
What is he dead of?
Fans. They don't know.
All right.
He lived in Southeast for 10 years, though.
Really?
That's where he learned to be a crusher.
Hey, can I see that for a second?
Sure. Does that look like one of your neighbors by any chance?
Oh, boy, does it ever. See? Look at that mullet.
You don't mess with people like that.
A famous professional wrestler used to live in Portland, Oregon. I read this because it was like, professional wrestler with Oregon ties dies. And, of course, everybody thought, of course, everybody was like, Roddy Piper! But it wasn't. It was this guy, Brian Adams, known as Crush. So, my grandmother used to be all, when she was alive, she was all about about NWA in the 80s. I would go to visit my grandmother, and she would just be in front of the television, just blitzed out of her mind on Cheatland Rainier, eating cornflakes, watching the NWA, just gumming a bunch of bad cereal and watching pro wrestling. Those were the days, boy. Scotty, what does that mean? Why would you I don't even understand why you would type that on the screen. Okay, yeah, whatever. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I was actually going to call about the car wheel thing, but that woman stole my thunder. So I figured I'd just listen from the future. Whatever.
Are you listening for... Oh, because of the delay?
Yes.
Yes, no, it is. It is actually... It is interesting. Didn't we determine at one point that... We had some weird thing we figured out we could do with the delay. That we could actually... Because of the audio system that Scotty actually has back there, where he can pull, because, you know, we tape the show, that because of the length of the delay, we can actually say something, pull it off the recorder, and be playing it back again before it's actually even been on the air.
Well, which see, is... I like the uncensored version. It's nice.
No, it's true. All right, thank you.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I did, actually, when you were talking about your grandma watching NWA, this glimpse of her actually watching, like...
Eazy-E.
You know, oh, totally.
My grandmother rolling in the CPT. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's true. No, it's, yes. All right, there you go. Let's see. I was going to make some Eazy-E joke, but nothing came to mind. Blah, blah, blah. Something. Jay, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, do you know anything about that nude music fest supposed to be going on this weekend?
Sarah, nude music festival?
Nope.
Supposed to be at that Bagby somewhere.
Yep. People who are nude are people you don't want to see.
That's true, sir. there's a reason why you typically have to pay to see people nude. Bagby? Where is Bagby?
It's up past Estacada.
Oh, well, yeah. That's it. Color me there. People by Estacada nude? Where do I sign up?
Trying to find out where it is.
Let's be honest, sir. A nude festival anywhere near Estacada is going to blind you. B, you know what kind of music comes out of a festival where people are nude?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
What would that be?
It's going to be a lot of hemp-flavored crap is what that's going to be. That's going to be a lot of endless musical inanity, freestyle musical wanking that goes on forever and ever, has no point, no end, no middle, just a beginning and then a gradual fade-out 3 or 4 days later as everybody packs up their bongos and goes home in a minibus, leaving 50 tons of garbage behind. Oh, and nobody's going to bathe.
Nobody's going to bathe?
Nope. So I would avoid that, sir.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. All right, go see... you can't go see Richard Cheese, but go see something better. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Nude people at Estacada?
Seriously, nude people at Estacada, and really, honestly, imagine how bad that music must be. If they have to distract you with the fact that there's a bunch of boobs around, imagine how bad the bands must be at that. All right.
Well, let's talk about the Serbian farmer who was allowed to take his prize bull to prison with him after an emotional appeal to his jail bosses. This Serbian fellow was sentenced to a year for assault after he hit another man during an argument in a bar. The judge ruled he could take the 1.5-ton bull, Miko, with him after lawyers argued that if the farmer went to jail, the bull would have been slaughtered. They said there was no one to look after him and that the animal was too vulnerable for the farmer to put down.
You're not going
to
do the joke.
No.
The farmer takes a bull to jail.
I could have done that, yes.
To jail.
This is the wrong time of the day for that type of humor.
Jail.
All
right.
So there. More on the Simons thing. If he goes to WABC, they don't know what they're going to do with the current wake-up guys, Curtis and Kubi.
But really, what do you want to do with some guys named Curtis and Kubi? Kubi?
Or Kubi? K-U-B-Y.
K-U-B-Y. Kubi? Kubai?
I don't know. I don't live there. Don't listen.
WABC, what is it? What's even on there now? Is it Rush still?
Yeah.
And because it used to be like Bob Grant.
Yeah. They're KEX.
Yeah. Well, so seriously, why would I know anything about that station? All right. Well, whatever. Good luck.
And he can't say anything bad about CBS.
What's that?
The agreement forbids him from speaking negatively about his former employer.
Yeah, well, I mean, what is he really going to say at this point? He's getting his $20 million dollars to do nothing. And then on top of that, because that's not a buyout of his, or rather, that's not part of his no-compete. In other words, he is not getting $20 million in exchange for staying off the air. Because sometimes, and this is not just in radio, but sometimes in various industries, you have a no-compete where if they fire you or you whatever, they pay you as long as you are not competing with them. So you get, you know, basically it's like a massive amount of severance as long as you agree not to compete. But if you take a job at a competing company, then they stop paying you. It's sort of like getting alimony until you remarry. Then the alimony stops. But this isn't that. Like, he gets the $20 million, even though he's taken this other gig, supposedly. So he gets $20 million, and then whatever WABC is going to pay him, which is going to be millions. So, really, what does he have to bitch about at this point? I mean, this, in a weird way, is like the best thing that happened for him. He's not going to be syndicated or not right away. But, I mean, even WABC is, you know, still the number one radio market in the country. So, yeah, that guy didn't have anything to complain about. F him.
Well, the Water Bureau digging up downtown Portland has made a strange discovery. They were digging at Southwest 6th and Southwest College, which is not
right
too far from
here.
They're digging and shaking this building, too.
Yep.
Well, it was a grisly discovery.
Bones.
And shoes.
Oh.
Shoes made of leather.
Oh.
And bones made out of bones. The discovery was made 5 feet below ground. That's below a set of trolley tracks. That trolley stopped operating in 1950. They found several bones. Oh, there used to be a slaughterhouse in that area at one time.
That's
it's unknown if the bones belonged to a person or an animal.
A shoe-wearing cow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. David, hello.
Oh, how you doing, Rick?
Hey.
Hey. You mentioned desiccated, and I don't know, at one point you were making fun of names of cities. Outlying cities.
Yes.
Incesticata.
Yes. No. That's. I hear that every now and again. I'll hear that phrase. That's incesticata is right there with Greshamphetamine and Clacatraz.
And yeah. And Hillsborough.
Yeah. Do you live in incesticata, sir?
No, I've been out there though.
You drove by it once. And so, where do you live?
I'm actually in the suburbs, Tualatin.
Oh, I see. So, okay. All right. Excellent. Yeah, no, we'll make sure that we use that phrase more frequently. All right. Thank you.
Yes, incorporate that more often. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now. All right.
For the nude sunbathing weekend.
Yes.
Greater Estacada.
Well, by the way, this is just because you had the story about the cow earlier and the man who was unusually attached to his cow.
Yeah.
We have this from Tacoma. Not too far from Enumclaw.
Or Bremerton.
That's true. A man accused of having relations with a goat is scheduled to be arraigned on Friday on charges of, you know, blah, 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 with a goat. Charging papers say a witness saw a 63-year-old Arthur Lawton having relations with a goat May 8th in a barn at Eatonville's Pioneer Farm Museum.
That's just something you'll never be able to unsee.
Nope. Yeah, how would you like to... How would you like to do, Jed, what do you, Jed? You know, that's, you're right. That's a thing that'll stay with you the rest of your life. He's the second person to be charged in the county since the legislature made bestiality a crime in response to the fatal injury to Kenneth Pinion, who died having sex with a horse in Enumclaw. Lawton said, I swear to Christ it says this. Keep in mind, someone saw him having sex with a goat. Lawton says he was...
cautioned against it.
No. No. It's even more ridiculous.
He was giving it the Heimlich.
Oh!
Oh.
Oh, that's so much better. I'm not even going to read this now. That's so much better than this. You want to go to work for the Tacoma Picayune? I'm sorry. The Tacoma News Tribune giving it the Heimlich. Now I'm going to put this over here. No, for the record, he said he was trying to milk the goat.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
Yeah, I like your answer better, though. Well, I'm sorry. Here's Tim Riley.
Where were we here?
I have no idea. I got another story if you want me to just kill time while you're finding something.
No, I have something right here.
It's got urine in it.
Make him wait.
Okay.
The White House is playing down the possible impact of Karl Rove's departure. Spokeswoman Dana Perino was pressed about his departure and upcoming battles with the Democratic-controlled Congress today.
The president has said that he needs the appropriations bills to his desk. They've not sent him one. So the showdown actually might be within the Democratic Party while they need to reconcile with one another before they can come and have a conversation with the president about the budget priorities that they're going to place.
Is she giving her speeches in the Louvre now?
I guess so. She says the loss of Roe will not change anything.
We are going to have some fights on our hands. We know that. That is not going to change just because Carl is deciding to leave us. And while we will miss having his voice at the table, as he said yesterday, the president and he have each other's phone numbers. I'm sure they're not going to be shy about calling one another.
You know, there's a thing where, like, just like the Emperor Palpatine, he's just going to be appearing via hologram all the time on Bush's desk just to tell him exactly what to do. Yeah, he's going nowhere.
Yes, Congress is going to be busy. It doesn't matter if Karl Rove is there or not.
We're going to continue to push for our judges to be confirmed. We are going to continue to push for the No Child Left Behind reauthorization. We have health care legislation that we're interested in pursuing. We also have energy legislation that the House and the Senate have tried to push through.
Meanwhile, there are more toys from China coming to kill American children. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has announced a massive recall of toys made by Mattel. Millions of these things. Some of them, which are made in China, are covered with lead paint. Now, that's good eating for all the youngsters out there.
I didn't even think these jolly candy-like toys. I didn't even think that they made lead paint anymore. Well, it is China.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. And something is going to arrive with... Oh, here we go. Here's the CEO of Mattel, Bob
Made in China.
Yeah.
Check the toys they have in their homes, because if they contain these magnets, which can become loose, we want those toys back.
Bob said the most important thing Mattel is doing now is testing the products that they're producing after they give them to children.
We're having every batch of
paint
like come
the test
from a certified
underway for
supplier.
Some time.
We're having each plant retest the paint before it's used. We're watching the product lines with increased random unannounced inspections. And then we are testing every batch before it's released.
Now, it sounds like he's talking about something altogether different, though.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's talking about one of those contains choking hazard, children three, small parts, whatever those labels say. As opposed to the Chinese, where I guess just dousing toys with anthrax or whatever before they put them in a box. All right. Well, there you go. So if your child is trying to eat, like, the fire truck or something you bought him for Christmas, you may want to... you know, have him looked at.
This parent said his kids love to eat toys covered with lead.
Kids are curious about every toy, and the habit of putting toys in one's mouth for kids is not something new.
This man's children are easily led.
Why not try one today? The Consumer Product Safety Commission in Pueblo, Colorado.
81009.
Chairwoman Nancy Nord said one popular toy is being recalled.
The largest is an expanded recall of the Polly Pocket toy, totaling more than 7 million products.
Sound like a sex
this
toy?
This recall impacts all Polly Pockets produced before November 1st, 2006.
I swear to God.
Polly Pocket is rad.
I don't believe they're sex toys, no.
The Polly Pocket, you're sure? It's not like
I had
a pair
pocket.
Of rubbery lips.
No, Polly Pockets are like these little dolls that are about an inch tall, and you can get all like.
They come inside
containers.
A locket.
They come inside like a locket, but inside the locket's like their little home.
A little house. I remember seeing that on advertised on television. I'm sorry. They're really. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was thinking too, Scotty. Yeah, just some sort of, like, a, just a silicone mold of Jenna Jameson's lips. That's totally what I thought that was there for a second. That would be a Polly Pucker, though. That'd be something else altogether. All right.
And this just in, the president is licking his wounds after Karl Rove's announcement by returning to his Texas ranch.
Wouldn't be surprised if the president got in some fishing as well as some time with his wife, Laura, Mrs. Bush, and maybe other family and friends.
And those of you on the right, if you look over, we'll see Sunflowers 3.
He enjoys his time at the ranch.
What the president loves to do when he's at his ranch is spend time outdoors. And I know today that they were maybe going to do some trail building, some bike trail building that they do out there so that they can then mountain bike.
Okay, at least you didn't use the phrase brush clearing. That's fine.
There's a triple-digit temperature. The president is risking his life working outside. There are plenty of chores the president must accomplish.
There would be some brush cutting to do, although it is 107 degrees, so I don't know how many people are going to be able to stand it. The president obviously likes the heat, so maybe everyone else is going to just have to suffer through it.
The president likes being in the kitchen, therefore he enjoys heat.
Rick, did the guy having sex with the goat say that he was just kidding around? I'm embarrassed for not thinking of that earlier. I have failed ye. I am so sorry. I really ought to have thought of that about 5 minutes ago. Okay.
Oh, is it back to me?
I'll just read this urine story.
Sure.
Dateline Jensen Beach. A 60-year-old Stewart man was arrested and charged with domestic battery after he allegedly urinated on his sleeping girlfriend and her son Saturday morning. Wilfred Hart, I love how they give the address of people in these stories, and it's always in just the really vile stories. Like, they never give the address of a guy if he's been embezzling from the bank or something, or stealing typewriter ribbons. It's always some guy who's been found with a collection of kitten heads in his attic. That's always the guy they give the address for, so you can go by and stare at the house. Did I ever tell you that I saw Jeffrey Dahmer's house? That's exactly what this kind of thing is like. You can go by and leer at it. Wilfred Hart of the 2100 block of Northwest 20th Avenue... I don't even know where this is. Someplace. Probably Florida. Allegedly woke the woman and her 13-year-old son at about 5:45 a.m., called her dirty trailer trash, and then forced her out of bed and into the shower because she smelled bad. She smelled bad because he had urinated on her while she was asleep. So he gives her the Kelly. He gives her the R. Kelly. It's amazing that she didn't wake up from that. I mean, I'm not saying she was drunk, but it does seem like that's the sort of thing that might roust one awake. Do you know what I mean? Sort of a dream of a gentle cascading rain, and then it's a strong stench of last night's spinach. Anyway, urinated on her. Then, at 5:45, woke her up calling her dirty trailer trash and forced her out of bed. He then allegedly cornered the woman and punched her in the jaw. He punched her. You've got to punch her with her urine, sir. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Time for a snuff watch.
Here's your snuff watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Wah!
Phil Rizzuto, a Hall of Fame shortstop and a 40-year broadcaster for the New York Yankees, known for his catchphrase, "Holy cow," is dead. He was 89. He was a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, nicknamed Scooter Rizzuto. He gained a reputation as a speedy pest in lineups that included future Hall of Famer Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, and Yogi Berra. He was the American League's most valuable player of 1950 and played on several World Series championship teams. His voice and "Holy cow" will be part of baseball as long as we play the game, says Yankees owner George Steinbrenner. Rizzuto died late yesterday after several years of declining health. He'd been living in a nursing home in West Orange, New Jersey.
See, that's just depressing. When you read a story like that about some guy who was famous to some degree, had some level of success in his life, presumably made money, and then he just dies in a nursing home. Seriously. I mean, I don't know a single... How does this happen? If you were just to canvas every single person you know right now, and you'd be like, hey, what would you rather have? Nursing home? It's like the cake or death thing. What would you rather have, nursing home or death? Everyone chooses death. I don't know a single person that has ever said, look, when the time comes, if it comes down to putting me in a nursing home for the rest of my life or just shooting me, I'd rather take the nursing home. I'd rather wither away in a bed covered in my own filth all day. I mean, I don't know anybody who has ever said that they would prefer to end up in a nursing home, and yet everybody does. It just makes no sense at all. I swear to God. All right. That kind of thing freaks me out. It really does, especially because, as Tim Riley has noted, I will die old and alone with no children to comfort me and no one to tend to my wounds. So, I mean, just the idea that the nursing home is what waits at the end of the road for all of us is a little disconcerting. You know what? I ought to be asking the state for that assisted suicide stuff now, like if I promise not to use it.
If you keep it in the medicine cabinet?
Yeah, like if I just...
And put a Mr. Yak sticker on it? You won't take it.
Put it right next to the aspirin with a bottle and one of them said, like, no. You know, can I tell you this? I had a great idea, and then we'll close this, and then I'll play a little something in the break. I had a great idea for a little flourish that you would put in some sort of a dark office-like sitcom. A sitcom like The Office, maybe an HBO version of The Office. Great idea for a little character tick. I'm always coming up with these sorts of things. I had that whole thing about how there ought to be a sitcom where it's a bunch of dudes living together and in one room there's constantly just a rave going on. You never go in there, you never really see what happens. But he opens the door and you hear the disco ball and there's the pulsing lights and the music, and then he shuts the door again. That's just a little wacky bit. Here's another ongoing gimmick that would be part of some sort of dark sitcom. There ought to be a character who wears around his neck, like in a vial, Brad and Angelina style, wears around his neck a little vial just a dose of assisted suicide medicine, you know? And he's like 25 and perfectly healthy, you know? And just as like a bargaining tool, do you know what I mean? Like when he's sitting across the desk from the boss, and the boss is like, you know, John, I'm going to have to ask you to come in and do a lot of overtime this weekend. And he just grabs it and goes, I'll do it! And then the boss says, well, okay, never mind, skip the overtime. It's a funny idea. If you saw that on the show, you'd laugh heartily to yourself. And you'd say, my, what an amusing and edgy program this is. Anyway, I'd be asking the state for that now. Like, if I swear to God that I won't use it until I'm old and, you know, cancer-ridden.
Yes.
You know, just give me the assisted suicide thing now so I can sort of have it around. I don't think it goes bad. And then, you know, then I have to go through all the paperwork later. I don't think they'd do that, though. Yeah, I just got to avoid the nursing home. That's my whole goal. All right, well, let's close the snuff watch. There you go. Phil Rizzuto, freaking dead. Going to be back after this. Still to come, more from Tim Riley later on, Jim Roop, Richard Cheese, the top five, and so forth, as we bid farewell to Phil Rizzuto, who Sarah Dillon knows very well, whether she is aware of it or not. Phil Rizzuto, rest in peace. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. What a busy week this is. This is a busy month for us. It really is. So what was I saying? Last week, do tour tickets. This week, we're doing the Kiss DVDs. Day after tomorrow, we interview Peter Criss. I mean, I'll start with that. I'll take that. Peter Criss. Next week, I don't know if I can confirm this yet. I don't know if I can confirm next week's giveaway. I mean, I want to oversell it. It's not like it's the greatest thing in the history of the world. It's pretty damn cool, though. Well, oh, wait. This week, Kissology DVDs, and on Thursday, we're talking to Peter Criss. Tonight, we're at Richard Cheese. We do have a couple other things happening. We have a cool giveaway coming up next week that I think I can announce later on. Let's see. And then we have a great giveaway
probably by the end of the week that I still am not really able to announce yet. I think we can announce it tomorrow. But by the way, while I'm saying that, we just passed 1,000 Glorious Bastards. We were at 970, and about a week ago we had the 970th Glorious Bastard. We're now at 1,000 and something or other. So thank you all for that. Go to 970.am, sign up to be an AM 970 Glorious Bastard. That's the only way to win some of this crap. So go to 970.am, become an AM 970 Glorious Bastard, and then we'll see a whole lot of you down at Dante tonight for Richard Cheese. All right, it's all very exciting. The coolest thing happened during the in the break.
It's pretty incredible.
It really is. Okay, so for those of you, can I mention that your hot friend Kiki was here?
Oh, I thought that was what you were talking about.
Well,
Kiki and Smiley,
I don't, and
so
her
awesome.
Boyfriend. I don't want to look
like. Like, good to see you, Rick.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I'm coming out of the bathroom, and I was just coming out of the restroom as. Because you had said that she was here. Sarah's like, hey, my hot friend Kiki. You didn't say it that way. You're like, Kiki's upstairs. Because she came by to do whatever. And I dropped something off or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm in the restroom. I come out. And literally, just as I'm walking out, I open the door. And right in my field of vision is your hot friend Kiki. You know, and I'm trying to be like all cool, smooth, you know, like professional guy.
Yeah, but you
guy.
Always fail miserably.
Totally, because I can't pull it off because I just look like a tool. So I come out and there's Kiki and I'm all, and I do that stupid, like the guy head jerk thing. I'm all, hey, you know, trying to be all like, you know, because I know if I speak, I'm going to be all, oh, hello. So I'm trying to be all cool. And I'm all, hey, Kiki, what's up? And then, immediately, like into, from stage left, immediately then into the frame walks her boyfriend. And he's all, hello. And I'm all, hi. Just came back to the studio.
It was
I didn't
fine.
Know that Kiki had a boyfriend.
Kiki does have a boyfriend.
I just thought she's this gal about town.
No, Rick has a special love for Kiki.
I didn't say anything. You can't prove I ever said that.
Anyway, I think you've said it on the air.
Yes, I have. Well, in any event, but that's actually not the cool thing we're talking about. So you may remember what yesterday or day before we were talking about the Oregon Association of Broadcasters. Mm-hmm. Because a while back, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, which is just sort of, I don't know, it's sort of like this, it's, I don't want to say a union, but it is, you know, just sort of this trade organization for guys who work, other people who work on the radio or broadcasters of any kind in Oregon. And they had asked Tim and I to submit some air checks, some segments from the station, for consideration to win, you know, whatever awards, like best newscast or best public affairs program, best, you know, best long form interview or whatever the categories are. And, you know, but it costs like $50 to submit something, and I don't really care that much. So we were like, F that. And so we threw it away. And so the next thing we know, so we completely ignored it. The Oregon Association of Broadcasters are like, would you like to submit something and take part in this process to find the best examples of broadcasting in our industry? We're just, no. And we just tossed it into the trash. So the next thing we know, Tim gets this packet of stuff in the mail today. They ask Tim to be a judge.
Well, this is after Scotty called back and found out exactly what I have to do. So, but Scotty is partly responsible for this, so we have to thank him for this because this is a treasure trove of gold.
So they had asked him if he wants to be a judge, and Tim said, we'll find out what the deal is. And so Scotty brings in today this big-ass envelope full of CDs. And so we had been told, by the way, because apparently it's sort of a round robin. It's kind of like a daisy chain where, like, Florida judges Texas and Texas judges California and California judges Idaho and Idaho judges, you know, Wyoming. And we actually thought that Tim was going to be judging air checks from Wyoming. That's
Which
what we've
been
told.
Fine. We like the people of Wyoming.
But you will never believe this. So Tim got a bundle of air checks just moments ago during the break, an entire envelope full of air checks from where, Tim?
New Hampshire.
From New Hampshire, which is Tim's home state. And actually, is it not true, Tim, that some of these are from stations that you once worked at?
Yes, and I know of some of these people. Like, some of these people are older than me.
Still submitting things to the... like the
Don Brian, who was at WTSN, who isn't anymore, who is now at WOKQ, sent in an air check of his news from WOKQ. Great... Great mornings and country favorites with 50,000 watts.
Now, did you work there at that station?
I certainly did. I was fired from the all-night job.
One of many WOLDs in your past?
I'm not going to tell you how far that goes back. I actually used turntables and cart machines.
Ah, yes. Backing up a quarter turn.
And then we have WKXL Concord. I worked in Concord, but not that station. That's where I worked at Joy FM. And WSMN Nashua.
And my Nashua hometown, is your hometown.
My hometown. And this station just went back on the air.
What is the format now, and what was it when you were growing up?
Talk. And back then, it was easy listening, scratchy old album cuts from Percy Faith and his orchestra.
Like a Music of Your Life type thing. Yeah.
So we had WSMN, which recently went back on the air at 1590 on your AM dial.
And so these are all, are these music air checks? Are these news?
All news? But we didn't get some of the good stuff. We did not get the air check from the WYRY swap shop.
Oh.
Somebody else gets that.
That's too bad.
Let's see, Axe the Taxman.
Axe the Taxman.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Now, can we play some of these?
I suppose we can. Let's see here.
What do we wish to? And then you are supposed to judge these.
I'm supposed to judge these. I have a whole batch of them.
Now, may I look at this cover letter?
Yes, it's to Tim Wiley.
Tim, so it is.
Do we want to play this,
Sarah?
This is from WSMN in Nashville.
Tim Wiley with a W. Dear Tim Wiley, may we ask you a question? Would you like to judge these entries? Dear Tim, thank you for judging the awards in categories E and F this year. What are categories E and F?
These are newscasts 5 minutes or less, and newscasts over 5 minutes.
All right, so let's see here. Here's your judges.
Does it have a track listing?
I don't think. Well, let me just read the.
There's just one.
Let me read the overview here. Overall guidelines, Tim, as you're thinking about these, you judge these. First place and merit honor or honorable mention award should be given for radio and television.
Mm-hmm.
Please comment in a sentence or two on first place awards. For example, what characteristics make it a first place winner? Ties are discouraged, Tim, unless a decision cannot otherwise be made. Please use a scale of 1 to 10. All categories must have winners. Mm-hmm. However, if there's only one entry, it is not necessary for this entry to win. Imagine being the sole entry and not winning. Imagine being the only person who submitted something.
But everyone in the state of New Hampshire has every... You know, I'm pleased to see that there's so many people still active, and they do have live people sending things in.
Fantastic. All right.
Oh, darn it, we don't have the Horse Feathers Restaurant Happy Talk.
That's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what is it we're about to listen to here?
We're about to listen to a newscast from my hometown of Nashua, New Hampshire, on WSMN, which is 1590. Now, this station, a little history on it. It went off the air a couple years ago because the owners found out that the land that the towers were on was worth more than keeping the radio station on the air. So the station went off, and apparently they found another tower site, and they're back on the air now at 1590.
Fantastic.
And let's see here. I believe the newsman's name is Darren Root on this. So
Darren Root.
The news from Nashua.
Do you know what characteristic we should be listening to in this?
I guess.
Does it say, like, what
general merit?
General merit. General goodness. Yeah. All right, okay. This is Daryl, whatever his name is, Root.
On WSMN 1590 on every Nashua dial. Nashua, New Hampshire.
From the 1590 newsroom and the pages of the Telegraph, this is the morning news.
Three rescued from house fire, Ford OK's features contract, and in sports, Schilling Sheldon Red Sox loss.
Have a list.
Partly cloudy skies with a high of 86. Good morning. I'm Darren Root. In Hudson, four men working near a house that caught fire on Bungalow Avenue on Monday morning hooked up garden hoses to try and douse the flames.
Garden noses. I heard that too. This is going to be a great bit.
Was taken
they hooked up garden noses.
For heat strokes, at Deputy Fire Chief Neil Carter. Five others were treated at the scene for smoke inhalation and cuts. Fire officials are investigating the improper disposal of smoking
can
materials.
Can you pause this for a second? Let's make observations as we go along.
Garden noses.
Hooked up garden noses. I totally heard that. And does it sound like his tongue is too big for his teeth?
Okay, let's keep in mind one thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I being too harsh?
Well, we've all worked at small-town radio stations, and in New Hampshire, it's probably your first job.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a jerk. I'm just saying, with constructive criticism.
All right.
I'm just saying it sounds as though his tongue is extending about an inch and a half past his canines. That's all, like he can't close the mouth all the way. All right.
Possible cause of the 3 Bungalow Ave fire, Carter said. The fire broke out at about 10 a.m. and charred the front of the white wood-framed house. In Nashua, the school board approved a tentative 4-year deal with the teachers' union on Monday night, but neither side was expressing any optimism about whether it would pass muster when presented to the Board of Aldermen. The contract was passed.
Okay, this is not a live newscast. This is edited.
I heard the edit.
I mean, I deduct points right there for that. Right. This is a pre-recorded newscast.
But if this is my first job, I would do the same thing.
Really?
Sure. I mean, you're submitting this. You don't know where it's going. You hope somebody will hear this and get you out of Nashua. Or any of these towns in New Hampshire, basically.
Let me ask you this. We might as well just talk about this. As a radio person, Tim, when you have submitted air checks, When you in
I never did at this point because I could not come up with $20 working in New Hampshire back then.
In recent years, well, you, I don't know, when's the last time, if I can ask, when is the last time you sent a radio air check to someone angling for a job? Like, when, can I ask when the last time you did that was?
To Bruce.
Really? So yeah. That would have been, what, 97? 98? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not embarrassed to say that during 2005, when we were unemployed, I had to do that a couple times. I had a couple people ask for radio air checks. People who then did nothing with them. Decided not to hire me.
I mean, you wouldn't do this in this market because no matter how much you lie, they know what you sound like.
Yeah, no, totally. So, but I did have a guy in another city who dropped me an email like, "Hey, I see you're between gigs. Drop me a check. You know, drop me an air check." And I'm like, "All right." And I sent it to him and left him a couple messages. Never heard back. He must have heard and gone, "No." But did you do this? And it's easier now with digital editing. Did you take? Because they will always ask for what is called an unscoped air check, which means, and in radio, what that means is, if a program director asks you to send an unscoped air check, it's like, don't send me your greatest hits. Don't edit out and then send me a bunch of great moments. Because anybody can edit together 10 great moments from 5 months of broadcasting. What they'll say is, send me a raw hour, like from midnight to 1 a.m., everything you did, don't edit it, don't take anything out, except maybe the commercials, don't edit or alter it in any way. I want to hear a raw hour of it so I know exactly what a whole hour of your show feels like. And everybody agrees to do that, but no one ever does it. Everybody edits it. And, man, I would just sit there with the Pro Tools or the whatever, and I would take a raw hour. And at the end, it would still seem like a raw hour because it was still 44 minutes long or whatever without commercials. But, man, I was taking out, like, every pause, every stutter, every, stammer.
That's what Scotty does when he fills in for me.
Yeah, exactly. It sounded like one of those. It sounded like one of Scotty's newscasts where it's, you know, where their newscast sounds like, you know, one of several memorable quotes emanated from L.A. Press Conference, you know, and it's totally a Warner Brandeis thing where you just, every single word has been edited together. So I'm not faulting this guy for that, but I'm saying you, if you're going to edit something together to make yourself sound slick, you've got to learn, and it's not directed into any, in general, you've really got to learn how to do it well, because otherwise it just makes it sound like you can't get through a single sentence without effing up. Okay, let's continue with whatever this guy's name is.
Passed by a 6-2 vote, with the audience again filled with teachers sporting Blue Union T-shirts. They showed up en masse at last week's school board meeting, urging the board to approve the deal. The school board also approved the new secretary's contract by unanimous vote, a month after Mayor Bernie Streeter vetoed an earlier contract. The teacher's contract includes gradual health care concessions, as well as step and pay increases in all 4 years. The current teacher's contract expired in August, and if approved, the new deal will be retroactive to September. In Litchfield, the school board has picked a new principal to take the helm of the high school. The board voted unanimously last week to hire Robert C. Manso as the head of Campbell High School. Manso, the principal of the regional high school in Byfield, Mass., replaces Mike Parent, who's leaving after two years to take over the high school.
It's all resting on the weight of Darren, on the shoulders of Darren Root.
Appointed Manso after a closed-door interview on Wednesday night. In Nashua, the case of a convicted sex offender accused of sexually assaulting two
Tim
young
is shocked.
Children has been
the look on Tim's face at the news that there was a convicted sex offender in Nashua.
Richard Adore, 41, of formerly 54 Whitney
Bedford
Street, jailed since his arrest last year, unable to post $350,000 cash bail. His trial had been scheduled this week in Hillsborough County Superior Court, but the case has been postponed at least 3 months at the request of lawyers from both sides. Madore faces 5 felony sexual assault charges, alleging he molested and raped a 3-year-old girl sometime in 2003 or 2004.
Excuse me, pause this.
Most of the...
Okay, couple thoughts. First of all, A, the look on your face of the news that there was a sex offender in Nashua, it really was
I was a bit shocked.
It was like I'd said that Jesus had returned to Nashua or something. You were stunned. Like, what? That makes no sense. Also, you're right. There's no sound in this.
No.
I wonder if that's by design. I wonder if he thinks, like, this is pure Darren.
Well, you know, they just recently put the station back on the air, so who knows where it's really coming from.
It's in his living room. I shouldn't say this, but now I can. Mm-hmm. Remember when the station used to run all comedy radio?
No, I never listened to it.
Sarah? You remember when the station used to run all comedy radio?
I don't think so.
Stop. Stop. I'm trying to tell an anecdote.
I remember when this had Arthur Garfrey.
Anyway, we used in the early days when we were here about a year and a half ago, we would run this all comedy radio bit from Los Angeles. And it was, I guess at one point, a full-fledged network with like an office and a studio and everything, and they would set up the satellite. Literally, and I'm not saying this is a comic exaggeration or is like some sort of a zany Dennis Miller-esque, you know, whatever analogy, literally, when all comedy radio, at the end of their life, like when we finally pulled the plug on carrying them here, because I think we were their final affiliate, all comedy radio was literally, the entire network was coming off a laptop computer in a guy's living room in Hollywood. There was a guy living somewhere in a bad part of Hollywood, and in his living room was a laptop computer on a coffee table and feeding into an ISDN line that went out to radio stations. That's where all comedy radio was coming from. So when you say that who knows where this guy is actually taping this newscast, it could be anywhere. Also, if you notice that this guy reading the newscast, this Darren Rue guy, he has one gear. I mean, he never pauses. There's no stop. There's no slowdown. It is kind of great. You can tell he is just so jacked with adrenaline to be behind the microphone. Mm-hmm. He just has one gear, and that gear is overdrive. Okay, let's...
The charges carry an extended term of up to 10 to 30 years in prison because of the victim's age.
In 1990
sports, Coco Crisp had a career night with his first two-home-run game and went 4-4.
It's a man in your hometown named Coco Crisp.
A start he'd like to forget as the Boston Red Sox dropped their series.
He used to be a guy who ran a place called Blackie's Taxi.
9-4 last night down at Turner Field. Schilling went just 4 1/3 innings, giving up 6 runs all earned on 10 hits. He walked 2 and did not strike out a batter. J.D. Drew continues his success in the leadoff spot as he had a solo home run. Tonight, Josh Beckett will once again look to post win number 10 on the year. He'll be opposed by Atlanta's Tim Hudson. Your 1590 forecast. Today we'll see partly cloudy skies and humid conditions, a high of 86. Tonight we'll see scattered showers and thunderstorms, low down to 66. Tomorrow we'll see partly sunny skies with scattered thunderstorms, a high of 82. For the 1590 morning news, I'm Darren Root. You've heard the news, now talk about it. Woody Woodland morning, Silverhorn midday.
Woody Woodland. Ingram,
yeah, Woody Woodland.
Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
Okay.
Woody Woodland has done the morning show there for many years.
He ends every sentence that way. Did you notice?
No.
He ends every sentence with Can you back it up just like 40 seconds? He does like...
I don't know how to work this.
It's just a
CD player.
Well, it only works half the time. Like, okay,
that's
smart ass.
I'm going to do the quadratic equation.
Hey, asses, why don't you come here and try and help it? Do it.
Okay. Tim and I said that simultaneously.
Do it.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that not working for you?
Okay, don't be caustic.
I bet they don't have these problems at WSMN.
Of course not. Okay, is this his whole air check right here? Sarah?
Yeah, after you take it out and put it back in it. Yes, it's okay. One.
Woody Woodland? Is that really the guy's name?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right, so I think I backed it up far enough here. I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know the CD player was malfunctioning. Jim and I just tag-teamed you right there with that. I think...
Oh, don't ever say that in a sentence again, please.
I wasn't going to do the Boys to Men thing. I didn't even think about that. Listen to these final three sentences. I think I backed it up far enough. Listen to the inflection he puts on the final syllable of every sentence. And everyone is said like this. Go ahead and...
90 sports, Coco Crisp had a career night with his first two-home-run game and went 4-for-4 at the plate. But Curt Schilling had a start he'd like to forget as the Boston Red Sox dropped their series opener to the Atlanta Braves 9-4 last night down at Turner Field. Schilling went just 4 1/3 innings, giving up 6 runs all earned on 10 hits. He walked 2 and did not strike out a batter. J.D. Drew continues his success in the leadoff spot as he had a solo home run. Tonight, Josh Beckett will once again look to post win number 10 on the year. He'll be opposed by Atlanta's Tim Hudson.
Hudson!
Oh, I heard that.
He did it in the one before it, too. We don't have to go back, but and then play just...
Your 1590 forecast. Today we'll see partly cloudy skies and humid conditions, a high of 86. Tonight we'll see scattered showers and thunderstorms, low down to 66. Tomorrow we'll see partly sunny skies with scattered thunderstorms, a high of 82.
Two.
1590 morning
news.
Here's
the third one.
Darren Root, you've heard the news, now talk about it. Woody Woodland morning, Silverhorn middays, and Laura Ingram in the evening. Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
He ends every paragraph that way. He does that. He does the end of every paragraph like this. He's totally the Sting, Stingerino, Stinger in the Doo. He's that guy. Tim just showed me a picture of the WSMN.
When they knocked down the sign.
Are they broadcasting from a barn?
I think they moved downtown. They tore all this stuff down and built condos. That's someone who knocked down their sign.
Tim is showing me a photo of what either is or was the WSMN building. And it was like broadcasting from some, like a Queen Anne house somewhere.
Yeah. Well, your typical New Hampshire home. There it is. It's a Dutch colonial.
Literally, yeah. It's like they're broadcasting from the Ingalls family house or something.
They had a barbecue grill out back. I'll see
out back. That barbecue grill.
So on a scale, say they had a barbecue grill out back for the employees.
The insanity of this just can't be even explained. The WSNN building here is it's like it. It is. It looks like that Amityville Horror house. That's totally what it looks
exactly.
like. The Ocean Avenue house. It looks exactly like they're broadcasting from the Amityville Horror house, except it's in the middle of a huge like weed field.
Yeah.
With a barbecue in the middle of the weed field. A barbecue right in the middle of a field full of dried weeds. That's genius.
And the sign that's been knocked over.
A mysterious fire has broken out behind the WSMN building. We're not quite sure how it started. Someone seems to have been barbecuing near a bunch of dried weeds. All right.
But that's my favorite trend of all.
The picture of it, it says WSMN AM 1390. And then the sign is, like, just knocked over and laying in the ground with tire tracks on top of it.
Yeah, it is.
That's wonderful. Christmas bonuses for everyone. All right, when we come back, we'll have more Richard Cheese, your phone calls, Jim Roop. Oh, we still have to rate that guy.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't have anything to compare him to.
Oh, we'll have to listen to another one, won't we?
Oh, no.
Wonderful. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show.
A studio in Hollywood. The biggest names in singing. Lionel, Paul, Kenny, Bruce, Huey, Ray, Tina, Cindy, Kim Carnes, and Michael. Joined together to create a song that saved the world.
Hit it, boys!
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, and it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We are the world, we are the children, we are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving. There's a choice we're making, we're saving our own lives. It's true, make a better day, just you and me. When you're down and out, there seems no hope at all. But if you just believe, there's no way we can fall. Well, 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 let us realize that one change can only come when we stand together as one. We are the world. We are them children. We are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving. We are the world. Keep Michael Jackson away from your children.
All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. There you go. I'm sorry, I was halfway through a swallow of my coffee there. Oh, thank you.
I'll keep it rolling.
This is totally one of those Rick Emerson Show produced live from the studios of WQXB with a grant from the Carnegie Foundation. Also, viewers like you. I'm sorry?
Oh, my God, he's covering Velvet DeVoe's Do Me, but he's saying you can dome in the morning, you can dome in the night.
Well, let's listen.
Do Me.
What?
It's Do Me. Do Me. Two separate words. D-O and then M-E.
Oh, you can dome in the morning?
Do me. Do me. Big hit. Belle Biv DeVoe. Do me. Not dome. Do me.
Well, f*** you! Is that the end of the track?
I think so.
Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Let's roll one more of those as we welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. The one, the only, the legendary Richard Cheese.
Good evening, and I don't think I'm the only.
No, it's the, how are you, sir? I'm sorry, just trying to get myself a call
lady. A little crazy today.
No, it's been
one
of those days. How are you, sir? How are things? We're looking forward to seeing you tonight, your final Portland appearance for you guys fade off into the loungy horizon of Las Vegas.
That's right. You know, I'm actually already in Portland, and we just had lunch at that Douglas Fir. You know what I'm talking about,
yes,
that place?
I do indeed.
Oh, it's fabulous.
You sound like you've got that post-lunch carb fatigue going on right
now. Yeah, I'm
going
to take a little nap before the big show tonight. Tonight at Dante's, it's already sold out, so I don't know why I'm hyping it. But tonight, in concert, Rick and Sarah.
Oh God!
Along with what's his name?
What's
the
his name?
Richard
yeah.
Something or other. Cheddar.
Yes. We're support for you guys. That's how this is working.
Well, my friend, I don't know. I don't even know how many people Dante's holds, but I'll tell you what. I was talking to the other day, and he said that it had sold out, which is going to be great. And you guys are you know, it's for anybody who hasn't seen. If anybody's going tonight and it's their first time, it's like we always tell people who are going to see Storm or something like that for the first time that you got to kind of you don't know what to expect. It's going to be something quite like the people have never seen, my friend, because one entertainer to another, I know when a guy is strutting onto that stage to give people something that they have never had. So
I know what you mean, baby, and I got to tell you, it's going to be a special show because I have a leg injury. So
is that true?
Yes, it's really true. I actually pulled a ripped a tendon in my leg, so I'm going to be limping tonight.
Was it during some sort of strenuous sex?
I'm saying that it was.
Okay, excellent.
In fact, we're doing a contest. Whoever comes up with the most cool excuse for me wins 2 free tickets to tonight's show.
So you can do anything, really. I mean, you can get away with any kind of horrific injury if you're able to blame it on some sort of Kim Cattrall-esque bedroom acrobatics. Do you know what I mean?
I would love to have Kim Cattrall putting some sort of salve on my leg at this time.
Well, we'll do what we can.
No, but seriously, I want to have you give away 2 tickets. Any of your listeners who can suggest some fabulous excuses that I can use for why my leg is making me limp.
So we'll do so I'll tell you what. So this is, we'll do that. We'll do like a little segment later on. We'll have the audience dream up best excuse for you, and the best excuse wins, 2 tickets to tonight's Richard Cheese show at Dante's, 9 p.m. We'll shoot you that, will Scotty shoot you the information about the winner?
Yeah, actually just bring the winner when you and Sarah introduce this cat on stage tonight.
Excellent. All right. Fantastic, my friend. Well, thank you so much.
And I thank you so much for selling out the show, Rick. It's because of you.
Hey, well, you know, I'm always glad to help the cause, my friend. I'm always glad to help spread the lounge word from coast to coast.
And speaking of spreading the lounge, hey, Sarah, what time is the show?
I think I'll be there about, I don't know, 8-ish.
All right,
do Rick and I get to sit in the special side section with you?
Oh, this is Sarah's. This is Sarah's
side
request.
Section. I moved the side section. It's actually in my hotel room at the Jupiter. So I'll just give you a MapQuest printout, and I'll meet you there after the show, probably around 2 a.m. late night.
Okay.
Fantastic. Excellent.
I'm so excited to see you folks, and thank you so much to everybody listening, and we will see you tonight.
Hey, not at all, my friend. Thank you so much. Richard Cheese, ladies and gentlemen, tonight at Dante's. You want to be there right around that? Well, I don't know. Maybe earlier the better, I guess. You're going on stage around 9 or so, but you want to be there long before that. So.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be crowded.
You know, we just talked to him like 3 days ago. And yet it was that thing again where I got about halfway in the phone call, and then I realized that the best thing to do was just for me to be quiet and let him talk. Let him latch on you, because that really is when he's in his wheelhouse. Fantastic.
No, but so, I seriously did want to know if we can sit on the side stage. Dante's is hell
well,
when it's crowded.
I
was trying to do Shamble Soaring, but I don't know how to get a hold of him.
Well, that's what, Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. He's in your cell phone.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to call him and be like, hey, I know you're prepping for your show and you're wounded.
That's okay. I had to, I shouldn't even say it. Never mind.
What did you do?
No. I don't even know. Now I don't even know if I can say it. Well, now I have to say it. It's become one of those things that I didn't know that I should say, but now I have to, because if I don't, it's just going to leave everybody unsatisfied. I was going to say I had to call him this morning and sort of rearrange the guest list for the show, since Scotty won't be attending. Since Scotty and his plus one are going to be not at Richard Cheese tonight. I believe it was going to be Scotty and Mrs. J, but that's no longer happening. So it turns out that some of the AM97, the red shirts, the street team kids are going to be down there. And apparently they didn't know what it was for. This is actually kind of a sweet thing. I say this, it makes me feel old, but it is sort of sweet. 2 of the red shirts were going to be down at Dante's setting up and kind of, you know, because we're presenting the show, which is very cool, plastering it with the banners or whatever. But they didn't know what it was for. They just thought it was some, you know, they knew it was some musical act, but they didn't know who. All they got told was, hey, you got to go down to Dante's tonight. You got to set up because, the station's presenting, a show. They go to get the details, and they ask Becca, who's kind of the den mother back there, they're like, what is it for? And she said, oh, it's for Richard Cheese. And apparently they're both huge Richard Cheese fans, but didn't know it was him. And I guess they just went nuts when they found out it was Richard Cheese. And they're just like, can we go? We'd love to. And so Becca said, hey, is there any way we can score them 2 tickets? And it was like about 10 seconds before that Scotty's like, Scotty J is not going to be going to the show tonight. He's grounded. And so Scotty's tickets are now going to the 2 street teamers. So always glad to help the cause. Thank you, Scotty. All right. Scotty's typing in the screen. There'll be other good times. All right. No, I don't think that's true, Scotty. It's 503-733-2970. So there you go. The one and only Richard Cheese, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get these calls here. And then later on, we have more from Tim Riley. We have the top five Kissology DVD giveaway. Jim Roop's going to be joining us later on. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
The contestant's terminal enunciation is a colossal pain in the posterior.
I don't know what's happening right now. This is all the caller had. They had this one sentence that they've been preparing. Yeah, there we go.
Lies across his posterior.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. He'd prepared that one sentence thinking that the comedy in it would be self-evident, and then when it wasn't, he had no follow-up right there. Led with his right, as they say in boxing circles. All right. You know, the other thing with Cheese, when you talk to that guy, do you find this? When you talking to Cheese is sort of like talking to, sometimes it's like talking to a really funny comedian. You can never really tell what's being said to you as like a regular statement and what's being said to you as like a setup for something. And so I just find myself never knowing how to respond because I can never tell when I'm being set up for a punchline. What else are we doing here? This is, hi, hello, sir. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey there.
Hey.
I just wanted to call in and say that you absolutely need to forgive Scotty for not going on Saturday.
And why is that?
Well, I was inspired by your show Friday and tried Mad Dog for the first time last night. And let me tell you, man. Wow.
Kind of Mad Dog did you get, sir?
I got three different varieties. The peaches and cream, bling bling blue raspberry,
and
the orange jubilee.
Let's stop here. Well, first of all, this is not like a Plaid Pantry kind of a place. You went to some sort of downscale convenience store.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You bought, how much did it cost you to buy three bottles of Mad Dog?
Like $10.
Ah, all right. Please tell me there was really a flavor called bling bling blueberry.
Well, yeah, like around, it's blue raspberry, and then around the Mad Dog logo is a little, like, necklace that says bling bling on it.
I can't imagine.
It's genius.
Can't imagine anything quite that tacky.
But, like, the hangover is so unique, I have to say. Like, I keep thinking it's done. Like, 20 minutes later, I get this unbearable wave of nausea.
Fantastic. Of the three bottles of Mad Dog, how much of each is left?
Oh, they're all gone. None of them. They weren't all me. They weren't all me. I drank, like, a third of what Scotty drank.
But that's a third of what Scotty drank. That's still like drinking an entire bottle of that. I mean,
oh,
if they're all gone, how many people? How many people in addition to you were drinking out of these three bottles? Five people drank three bottles of Mad Dog.
Yeah.
And so you're saying that the hangover is sort of, it's like every time you think it's gone, it comes back with reinforcements.
Oh, it comes back with what you could ever believe.
So how long do you think this hangover is going to stay with you?
I hope it's over by tomorrow. Usually it's done by like 10 in the morning, but this one's just been lingering.
That was actually going to be my next question. Is it the worst hangover you've ever had, sir?
No, I've had some pretty bad situations.
All right, but still, but you think that you think that Scotty J can be forgiven for bailing on Night Ranger?
Yeah, I mean, really, you did give him that much Mad Dog. I think it's understandable.
No, it really was. I mean, it was amazing that he was, I mean, I can't say that he walked out of here under his own power. He did sort of limp out on rubbery legs, but just the fact that he was able to do that, you know what I mean?
I'm speechless. That was amazing. I couldn't do it myself.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
You have a good day, Rick.
All right, there you go. Really? Scotty, is that true? Scotty's speculating. Scotty has a sneaking suspicion that Mad Dog might be targeted at the underprivileged. He's spent some time thinking about it. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
My submission is that Richard Cheese was giving a goat the Heimlich.
All right. Thank you. All right. We haven't started, sir. All right. See, like that, like I didn't know whether he was serious about that or not. With the come up with the best excuse for why I injured my leg, and I couldn't tell if he was like putting this on, like if it was a setup.
Yeah, so we're supposed to bring some random
like a gag.
Up.
Well, that's the other thing.
That sounds kind of weird.
Unclear about how that's supposed to work.
It's kind of nerve wracking to be in front of all those people anyway, and then we're just gonna bring up some poor listener who's like, "All right, you broke your leg.
Yeah.
By tripping on a sidewalk."
Well, and that's the other thing is Well, all right. Well, let me just finish out these calls and we'll break. We'll come back with them. So here's what we got to do today. You know, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that the load has become increased because now we have the two Kiss DVDs and these Richard Cheese tickets to give away. So, good times. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I got a pretty cool Mad Dog story for you.
Okay.
A buddy of mine and I, we went out and we got like 6 bottles of Mad Dog one night, and this is back when, fresh out of high school, you know, drinking, partying my ass off, you know, type of thing. And so we went and got like 6 bottles of Mad Dog, like every flavor we could find, and we just started pounding these things down.
Just
we literally
thinking
went
about
insane that.
That
night.
Yeah, I mean, I just look, just contemplating, just imagine, like. It's sort of like when those guys were calling in saying that they had contact hangovers from listening to Scotty. Just hearing people call up and go, yeah, my buddies and I drank 4 bottles of Mad Dog. I mean, just hearing you say that gives me a headache and cold sweats, you know?
Oh, you have no idea. I mean, that night, we literally didn't even remember what we did that night. We woke up over at some person's house that was, like, miles away. We don't even know how we got there. I mean, it was just... It was probably the craziest night I've ever had.
And that's one of those things where the rest of your life, it's like how when you're missing a tooth, you're constantly kind of sticking your tongue in there. You're just probing where the tooth used to be, wondering. This is sort of like when you have those blackout nights where you can't remember something, and the rest of your life, like the JFK assassination, the rest of your life, you will ponder that, wondering what really happened. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I totally know what you mean. I'd love to know what happened that night. But I tell you what, after that night, I can't even smell Mad Dog now without getting sick.
You're not going to know what happened that night until about 3 or 4 years from now when a woman shows up on your front porch with a 12-year-old. That's when you're going to learn what happened that night. Think about that next time you try to sleep. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Bye
Thanks.
Now. All right.
And that
you.
Does happen.
It happened to my roommate.
It happened to my friend very recently.
There was a whole lot of... Hold on, I'm going to put the Madden game on hold. Hold on a second. Yes, what are you... Who's this? Well, this is your son.
Yeah, this is what happened to my friend. It was a 15-year-old.
Oh, 9 years old, and then she hit him for 9 years of back child support. That happened to your friend, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a friend that we know. Actually, she said that she'd come on and talk about it sometime. It's a pretty interesting story.
No, it's crazy. This guy, and it was a guy I was living with. It was one of the guys, I won't say his name, but it was one of the guys at the Casa de Vatos, at the House of Dudes in Salt Lake. Some girl, and it was the worst possible thing. It was a girl he'd, you know, been with for like a week.
Yep, this one, he slept with her once.
Bad.
And then she's coming to collect, like, back child support.
Oh, dude. And
she got married, like, a couple times after
of
that
course.
One thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those paychecks didn't quite work out, so. And again, I don't mean to knock the guy, but it's like he was in no position to be a dad. You know what I mean? Like, literally, his day consisted of wake up, hit the bowl, sit in front of the television, watch SportsCenter, play whatever it was at that time, Sega, play Sega hockey all day, hit the pipe again, go to the taco place, come back home, hit the pipe, watch more SportsCenter, go to bed. That was it. And then suddenly knock at the door. Hi, here's 9 years worth of child support payments. Oh, and as a bonus, here's 9 more years of child support payments you get to do. Mm. All right, let's do one more, and then we got a break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. Hey, speaking of hitting the pipe, did you hear about those 10 Clark County sheriffs that got lost in the woods?
No.
This just happened, like, yesterday or the day before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's 10 of them, and apparently they're eradicating a marijuana crop. And, quote-unquote, as night fell, they became disoriented.
That is,
find their way out.
Is that true? That can't possibly be true.
And they did, and it's on the front page of the Colombian, they had to get airlifted by a helicopter.
There is a video on YouTube somewhere, and I forget exactly where. There's a great video on YouTube of a reporter, and I forget where, a reporter standing in front of a huge pile of weed that the cops or the DEA or whoever have, you know, it's the old photo op where the DEA is burning a huge pile of marijuana, and the cop is reporting on... DEA agents behind me are burning a huge marijuana crop that they say was seized from the middle of this forest. And as the news report goes on, the guy just gets very disoriented and giggly. And agents say that the marijuana behind me could be... and about halfway through, the wheels just completely come off the wagon, and they have to come back to the newsroom because he's so high, he cannot report on the weed being burned behind him. Genius.
That's awesome.
All right.
Yeah, you should check it out, the front page of the Colombian.
I'll look into that. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, bye.
Hey, speaking of YouTube, have you seen the video of that newscaster cracking up when he's talking about the three people killed in the car accident?
Probably.
No. Oh,
there are lots of things on
there. It's fantastic. Nate Baker showed it to me this week, and I'm not sure if he emailed it to me or not. It was during the 48-hour film festival, and we were all sort of, everybody's a little loopy. And so it was like 2 in the morning, and we were waiting for some dialogue or something to be edited, and we couldn't really do anything on the film until the dialogue was edited. So we were just kind of sitting there, kind of cooling our heels. And so we just were killing time by looking. Oh, here it is. We were killing time by just looking at, you know, the music. And, of course, it's like 2, 3 in the morning, and everything is hilarious anyway, because we're all just exhausted. Nobody has slept. And so everything becomes hilarious. And then we just are killing time by watching clips of things happening to people on YouTube, like people being hit in the face with things. And then we found this. Now, I'm just going to play this here, and then we'll break, and we'll come back with Tim Riley. We'll get these calls. We'll give away some Richard Cheese tickets. We'll give away these Kiss things as well. Okay, I'm going to play this. This is from WSLS, which is Nebraska. WSLS in Nebraska. Now, here's what's on the screen. It's just the talking head for about 5 seconds, although you do see a smile start to creep over his face just as they cut to it. And then the rest of the video is just footage of a car wreck. You know, and you know, it's the standard thing. It's like, you know, there was three people are dead following a crash on Interstate 80 today, and then they cut to the car crash footage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here is the TV reporter, and this is from WSLS. Here's the TV reporter covering this car crash.
A fire crash leaves three people dead. Police in Nebraska say a rental truck carrying two people lost control, crossed the median and collided head-on with a semi-truck. Both trucks burst into flames, and witnesses say there were several explosions. Excuse me. The two people in the room...
And meanwhile, I have to say this. On the screen, pictures of smoking bodies and body bags. Right there on the screen. That's really what sells
it. That separates broadcasters from idiots like that.
Really?
Learn how to set it aside.
Just pictures of a smoking car and body bags being put onto a stretcher.
A fire crash leaves three people dead. Police in Nebraska say...
So right here is the smoking car.
Two people lost control.
And then there are body bags.
Head on with a semi-truck. Both trucks burst into flames, and witnesses say there were several explosions. Excuse me. The two people in the room... The two people in the rental truck and the driver of the semi, this is a sad story, excuse me, were killed. Crews say they had fires contained in about 10 minutes.
Was his ass fired?
I don't know. I hope not, because I hope he'll be around to give us years and years
What's
of entertainment.
What's the station name?
Let's listen one more time. WSLS, his name is Jay Warren.
A fire crash leaves three people dead. Police in Nebraska say a rental truck carrying two people lost control, crossed the median, and collided head-on.
Literally smoking wreckage of a car, and then showing what I'm pretty sure is like a body bag with someone in it. That's when he really loses it, by the way, is when the body bag comes on the screen.
The semi-truck. Both trucks burst into flames, and witnesses say there were several explosions. Excuse me. The two people in the room... The two people in the rental truck and the driver of the semi... This is a sad story. Excuse me. Were killed. Crews say they had fires contained in about 10 minutes.
There you go.
Yeah, he still works there.
Let's give him a 1, Tim. Let's rank him a 1 on the classic 10 scale.
A 1 it is.
All right. Take a break here. We'll come back. More of Tim Riley. More of these the New Hampshire Organization of Broadcasters or whatever it is. We got that coming up. Richard Cheese tickets.
No, I'm fine. Just go ahead.
Jim Roop, Kiss DVDs. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Go. Yeah, that's good. This is one of my favorite songs. Thank you. Breaking my back just to know your name. 17 tries, and I've had it with this game. But heaven ain't close in a place like this. Heaven ain't close in a place like this. Brick. We'll be right back.
we're doing.
When we're not busy giggling at car crashes. And speaking of which, did anybody else have to go across the Ross Island Bridge this morning while that freight liner was broken down on the bridge?
Nope.
You know where my house is from there to here?
Uh-huh.
It took me 50 minutes to get here.
If you rode your bike, I bet you wouldn't have had a problem. Do you even own a bike anymore?
You know the horrible part about that? Is the next time I ride my bike, I break the $1,000 mark. But I just haven't done this for like 10 days. Do I even own a bike? Yes. Fantastic.
Excuse me. The two people in the room... The two people in the rental truck and the driver of the semi. This is a sad story, excuse me, were killed. Crews say they had fires contained in about 10 minutes.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
yeah,
this is Tim Riley.
A clown robbed the U.S. Bank on Lombard in St. John's this morning. The clown robbed the bank at 9:30.
Wait, hold on. What? Who robbed a what?
A clown robbed a bank.
Wait, I think you know what it's time for. Ladies and gentlemen, for this Tuesday, here's your Clown Watch.
A Portland police report. An armed clown robbed a U.S. bank this morning. Happened shortly after 9:30 at the U.S. Bank branch in the 3200 block of North Lombard Street. That's St. John's.
Fantastic.
The clown was wearing a multicolored wig, an orange coat, purple latex medical gloves, and sunglasses. He robbed the bank and escaped with an unknown amount of cash. Then he ran away on foot, leaving his wig and sunglasses in an alley, one block from the bank. Police set up a perimeter to search for the clown. He was also wearing a bandana over his face, but the clown was never found.
That's wonderful. There you go. There's your clown watch. I have nothing to add. By the way, so we're going to do news, then we'll do this Richard Cheese giveaway, then this before the top of the hour. Seriously, I don't care if we have to throw everything else out right now. We're going to do the Richard Cheese giveaway, and then I got to do one of these Kissology DVDs, because they're just too damn cool not to get to it, and I got all these cool Kiss liners to use. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, they call it River Nose. It's been a mystery for some 20 years. Windsurfers and kite boarders who use the Columbia River have complained of symptoms that include stuffy noses, sinus infections, sneezing attacks, cuts and bruises that don't heal,
on a sesame seed bun,
nausea and fatigue. This year, a number of reports of symptoms is higher than ever. River groups in the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality are trying to find out what's getting into the river that's causing these symptoms. The river runs for about 1,200 miles, passes through the Hanford Nuclear Reservation.
Problem solved.
13 pulp and paper mills, heavy metals from mines, and sewer overflows all going into the beautiful Columbia River.
That's wonderful.
If a health hazard is found, warning signs and advice will likely be posted when the danger is highest.
But that's only in the unlikely scenario,
yeah,
where they find some sort of theoretical kind of contamination of the river. It's all very speculative right now.
Well, a man has been stopped at Cairo's airport just moments before boarding a Saudi Arabian plane. He was carrying bags full of live snakes, baby crocodiles, and chameleons. They became suspicious when the bags went through the X-ray machine and gave odd readings. They opened the bags and found large numbers of reptiles, including at least one cobra, squirming to escape. They were confiscated and turned over to the Cairo Zoo. And the man was allowed to board the flight.
Of course.
The transporting of live reptiles out of the country is illegal in Egypt, but the passenger said he was unaware of a ban on snakes, crocodiles, and chameleons. Well, that's an honest mistake, I guess. Rumor and speculation has come to pass, and CBS proudly announces WFAN's replacement for Don Imus will be Boomer Esiason and a radio talk show host from New Jersey named Craig Carlton of the Jersey Boys. Meanwhile, Bo Dietl checks in. These are going to be short sound bites. I know we don't want to hear him.
Get some coffee here while you're doing this story.
Bo Dietl, who made 20 appearances on the Imus show, is thrilled that the I-Man is coming back to radio.
I'm ecstatic. This thing should have never happened like this. The way they handled this thing was terrible. If there was really a problem there, he apologized. And they gave him a suspension for 2 weeks, which he accepted like a man.
Yeah, never a big problem. Dino says Al Sharpton is shocked that Ibis was fired.
And Al was more surprised than anybody that they fired the guy. And Al says, I have no problem all about him coming back. You know, he said two bad words. We all agree with it. He apologized.
Yeah, so what's the problem?
There you go. Did you see that Bo Dietl on, God, I think he was on Fox or something.
No, I tried to skip all appearances by Bo Dietl.
It was all appearance-izing. It was gold. Somebody, he was talking about how, you know, we need to go nuke everybody in the world because of Al-Qaeda or whatever. And somebody sort of challenged him on that. Somebody said, like, well, you know, maybe they're overstating the terror threat just a little bit. And Dietl's response was, don't you watch 24? It was brilliant. It really was. It was just some sort of weird, like, Dada-esque moment of stupid clarity.
This should come as a surprise to no one. John McCain's wife controls the family fortune. Apparently, his wife, not the candidate himself, has an estimated portfolio of between $36 and $54 million. And she chairs one of the nation's largest beer distributors. She's also a recovering prescription drug addict who has endured several miscarriages and a stroke. Less known that she is chairwoman of Hensley, the nation's third-largest distributor of Anheuser-Busch. She also controls the McCain family portfolio, which is estimated to be between $36 and $53 million. But not a dime of this goes to John McCain's campaign.
Well, no, because you just know, put down. You can't trust that guy. You know, he'd blow it all on handguns.
Mm-hmm. Some good news out of CBS today. They've announced plans to once again broadcast the Victoria's Secret fashion show. This is a holiday-themed special featuring lingerie models on a catwalk. It'll air December 4th at 10 a.m. Beauties expected on this year's show include Heidi Klum, Adriana Lima, Carolina Kurkova, and Selena Eubanks. Absent from the runway will be the highest-paid supermodel in the world, Gisele Bündchen.
You know, I don't find her to be exceptionally hot. You know, everybody says that she's like the hottest chick in the world, and she kind of looks weird to me. She has like this weird sort of Kraftwerk look to her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like she should be standing on stage like at a Tussauds exhibit or something. She's kind of got kind of a strange appearance.
Justin Timberlake will also make an appearance
in
one of his songs.
That makes it all worthwhile. Have you seen the ads for his HBO special?
No.
They're kind of cool until you realize that it's like seeing a really, really, really great trailer for a film and then it ends with, you know, Daddy Daycare 3. The spots for his HBO concert are really kind of cool. You're like, well, what exciting concert is this? I can't wait to watch it. And then they just show him and his... And I think with Justin Timberlake, his street cred, I figured it out, his street cred comes almost entirely from the fact that he's got a shaved head. I think that's where it is.
And rad tribal, like, calf tattoos.
Oh, I haven't noticed that, really?
Oh, my God, they're so terrible.
Well, the only time he spends on the street is getting into his limousine from the backstage door.
Sesame Street. That's not my joke. I stole that joke from Ice-T. I'm sorry. Yeah. All right. Scotty, we're not going to do the Richard Cheese thing quite yet. So you got to clear these, send these people away. Send them
to KXL.
Send them over there right now. I'm sure there's a Craftmatic commercial they might find very interesting. So there you go. Send them over there. Send them to listen to Lars on one of his many Spanish feeds on his website. I sound like Don Corleone, the guy when Johnny Fontaine sends the flowers. You know, take them away. All right, so get rid of these people. I don't say that to be rude, but just because we got to do the kiss contest. That's with two Ks, by the way. We'll be doing the kiss contest right now. And now, here to tell us... Wait, hold on. And now to tell us more about this kiss contest, ladies and gentlemen, we have, of course, the one and only...
Hey, this is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley from KISS. Kissology Volume 2, 1978 to 1991. The ultimate KISS collection on DVD is in stores now.
Yeah.
And we want you to have a copy. For more details on how you can win one, keep it locked to AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Come on! How great is that?
Didn't even sound like one edit in that.
That's fantastic.
They're one takers.
Oh, it's great. By the way, in addition to all of these KISS liners they sent, they also sent a bunch of interview segments, although they didn't do, yeah, and you know what, you've done these probably, Tim, where it's a one-sided interview they send you, where it's just the answers, and then they furnish you a sheet that has the questions.
So I say something like, Gene, did you always know that this KISS project would be so exceptionally successful?
I did have notions that this would be a monster.
You know, like that, and then you ask. But
are you going to do an audio
interview? They didn't send me the questions.
No, I remember that when I had a so-called interview with Garth Brooks, and I put the wrong CD in, and it turned out to be an interview with Randy Travis, and that was in, like, the third question before I realized, I'm not talking to Garth Brooks.
I have one on vinyl that is an AC/DC interview.
I remember you talking about that. But a great contest would maybe be for the listeners to guess the question.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, like they can say a question and you play a random soundbite.
Have I done the Beavis and Butthead one?
Yes.
Did I?
Like 4 years ago, I think.
Because I can't find that CD anymore, which sucks. It's lost somewhere in my basement. But, you know, but the thing is, so there are these one-sided interviews. Gene, did you think it would be a success?
I did have
none. Yes. And then, so, but they did, A, they didn't send me the questions, and B, Gene's answers are filled with profanity. It's a whole lot of, like, effing and MFing and S-ing and... I mean, they're filled with profanity, which I'm glad I listened to them in advance. All right, so, Scotty, we are now... are you taking KISS calls now? Yeah, we'll take caller... KISS calls with a K. We'll take caller five. We'll take caller five right now. Now, I ask in advance, you gotta... It's gonna... This is for KISSology Volume 2 now in stores. You really ought to be a KISS fan because this is going to be KISS... this will be KISS trivia. So we are going to be doing KISS trivia. Don't be a Nancy boy and call up thinking you're just going to get it by being calling in front of you. You've got to be able to answer. You've got to know your KISS. It's 503. Well, these are one and two right here. Yeah. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This is for VH1 Classic Records. Announces the second installment of the number one smash KISSology DVD in stores. Well, right now, actually, KISSology Volume 2, 1978-1991. Includes never-before-seen European version of the rare cult classic film Kiss and Attack of the Phantoms. And then, of course, it's also got an expanded three-disc set boasting 7 hours of rare. And it's really cool. I got to say this. I'm not being paid to say this. This is really cool. I saw these DVDs upstairs. They are badass. I wish I got one, and I actually don't. So that's like how Sarah can't get her friends into cheese. I don't get a copy of the Kiss thing. They're all for the people. 7 hours of rare or never-before-seen footage, including television interviews and early Kiss music videos, all the way through the unmasking in the Eric Carr years. So be a Kiss fan, and we'll take caller number five right here. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Dolby 5.1 sound. It's badass. You really ought to go buy it. All right. Let's take... let's see. This is Jeff. Jeff, hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Good day.
All right, Jeff, are you a KISS fan?
Yes. I was issued KISS Alive on LP as a very, very young lad back in the late 70s.
Is that the one that came with the armband? The little the KISS Army like band thing, the armband that you wore, the tattoo thing?
You know, I don't know because I got it from my dad.
So he already took everything.
He gave it to me, so I'm sure, I don't know. But it folded up and it was a double album.
Hey, Scotty, let me just say that I hate to interrupt this, Jeff. Really? Scotty, make sure that other caller stays there. That line one? Yeah, make sure that caller stays. All right, Jeff. So here's your choice. Because you are a KISS fan, you have your choice. Do you wish to have a KISS trivia question, or do you wish to play Complete That KISS Lyric? It is your choice, sir.
Well, I will attempt the trivia there. Attempt the trivia.
Okay. Now, it's not that difficult of a question. Really, any true KISS fan ought to be able to get this. I'm not going to go out of my way to make these brain benders.
Okay.
So, all right. So the KISS trivia question is very simple, sir. Jeff, which member of KISS had his face adorned with an unk?
I'm sorry?
Which member of KISS... and we're talking about the makeup era, his face adorned with an Egyptian ankh.
I'm not really sure that I know what that
was. An ankh is a thing. It looks like a cross with a loop at the top.
Oh. Was that Mr. Vincent?
Do we accept a partial name, judges?
Is his first name Vinny? Is it Vinny Vincent? Is that his name?
Vinny Vincent, also known as Vincent Cusano. Well done, sir. You are taking home a copy of KISSology Volume 2, 1978 to 1991. Available for the first time on DVD, complete with Dolby 5.1 sound, 7 hours of footage. Excellent.
That's fantastic. Thank you. I watched the KISS... Anthology Volume 2 special last night on VH1 Classic there on the Dish Network.
Oh, and you're going to love this then. This is the packaging, the disc, everything is fantastic. I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty will get your information.
Thank
Congratulations,
you.
Sir. All right. Fantastic. I just have to say this. I have to pick this up only because Now, she, unfortunately, okay, she is not caller five. But, hi, is your name actually Christine? Oh, we lost her. Oh, how cool
damn
would that have been? I was almost, don't take this the wrong way, Jeff, I was almost hoping Jeff would choke. Because the idea of a girl named Christine winning a Kiss contest would be fantastic. Because, of course, one of Kiss's most famous songs is Christine 16. All right, so there, congratulations, Jeff. Next hour, we will do the second one of those. Next hour, we will do Kissology Volume 2, the second giveaway for today. And, again, you'll have your choice of questions when we do that. It's 5:03, and we're doing that all week long. Don't forget, we are also giving away five copies of that to the AM970 Glorious Bastards. If you are not signed up to be Glorious Bastards, never too late. You can register right now. Go to 970.am. Five copies of that will be given out to the Glorious Bastards sometime this week, so you want to be listening. It's 503-733-2970. Should we break here? We should, because we got Roop coming up. We got to do the other Kissology thing. We got Tim Riley, and we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to the sold-out Richard Cheese show tonight. It's the last way to get them. I think that I don't think there's any other way to get Richard Cheese tickets at this point. We have the final pair of tickets available for tonight's sold-out Richard Cheese concert at Dante. So you stay there. We're back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Very confusing. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. What am I doing there? It's like I'm answering the phone. I'm sorry, I'm all distracted by this Kiss thing. Hello, it is the Rick Emerson radio program. Right here, I hold in my hands a copy for this Kiss DVD. We'll be giving away the second one of those today. Later on this hour, we will do that. Do that here, just doing it. Later on this hour, also, your chance to win a pair of passes to Richard Cheese tonight. Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine, their final Portland appearance ever, supposedly. I know they're going to be doing a standing gig at Vegas. I forget exactly. Oh, the Hard Rock. Because it was at the Sunset Station or something, or the Palace Station. I guess they got a standing gig at the Hard Rock, which is great. But this is their final Portland appearance. And we got the last pair of passes to give away for Richard Cheese. That is tonight at Dante's 9 o'clock. Sarah and I will be there bringing him on stage. We got your final chance to win, though. That's coming up this hour as well. More from Tim Riley. Later on, Jim Roop's going to be joining us here in just a few. I'm just going to read a couple of these. I don't have time to do anything to do the giveaway here, but we got a couple minutes till Roop joins us. So I got a few phone calls, and then I will, and then we'll do the Kiss giveaway after that. But don't call for that yet, please. Rick, this email says, "Have you started watching the two Corys yet? It's interesting, but oddly sad and depressing." I think Joni's watching that, but I'm not.
It just sounds depressing.
I can't.
Especially since they both turned out to be kind of nut jobs.
Seriously. I mean, Corey Feldman, of course, ended up being a junkie and I think a drunk and whatever. I don't know what Corey Haim ended up being except for fat. I mean.
Corey Haim?
Yeah.
He was the one who was selling, like, I can't remember what he was doing. He was selling like his T-shirts and stuff on eBay, and just
really,
it's just really sad. And
is
he
that
got
true?
All, he got all cracked out too. But Corey Haim is the blonde one, right?
No, that's Corey Feldman. Well,
no,
I don't
Corey
know.
Feldman's the dark-haired one.
No, Corey Feldman. Well, look, I'm not the repository of Corey knowledge that some people are. Corey Feldman in Stand By Me was the blonde one. You're talking about the kid from Stand By Me.
Yes, I got the kid from Goonies.
Yeah, that's Corey Feldman. That's Corey Feldman. Corey Haim was in License
He's
to Drive.
He's not blonde in Stand By Me.
Yes, he was. When he played Teddy LeChance, he told him it was like a dirty blonde. He wasn't a brunette. I mean, he didn't have brown hair. He was like a dirty blonde. Because that's the thing, is that Corey Haim had dark hair. Corey Feldman had light hair.
No, Corey Haim was in, like, License to Drive.
They were both in License to Drive.
I mean, Corey Haim was the main guy in License to Drive.
I've never seen License to Drive.
Oh, jeez. You're so obnoxious. All right, no, Corey Feldman is
not obnoxious.
Is the darker one that had, like, the rat tail thing.
When?
Like, his whole career. And Corey Haim was the cute, like, poppy one who had the blonde hair and the blue eyes.
I don't think Corey Haim...
I just looked up a picture of Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman's the dark-haired one.
That's not true. You're completely making... Corey Haim...
Corey
this
Haim
is the most
the
retarded
one.
This is the most retarded conversation
I know,
right
is,
now.
And it's frustrating because everyone knows I'm right and you're wrong.
I'm just thinking of Stand By Me, where Corey Feldman was like a dirty blonde.
Oh, he was like... dirty or blonde, but I mean, not, that's not like the...
So insane. He didn't have Will Wheaton color hair.
You're torturing
me. I'm not...
All right, who was Mouse?
Now
who was Mouse and Dean?
That's Corey Feldman.
Yes.
Now I think it's hilarious just that you're becoming so angry. Now I just want to continue to provoke
you. Corey Feldman, who has the dark hair.
Okay, I can't possibly... Okay, hold on. Maybe... Here's why maybe I'm getting confused. Maybe I'm getting confused because I'm thinking of the promotional materials they sent me for the two Coreys, in which I do believe one of them is a blonde and one is dark-haired. In the promotional
the
material for the show.
The same ones that have always been blonde and the same one that always had brown hair.
Now you're making that up.
I am not.
Now you're just being obnoxious.
You are so frustrating.
Don't be jerky.
I'm being jerky?
Ha! See? There's that spark that keeps this relationship alive, Sarah.
I'm just looking at the two Coreys.
Oh, see, now, of course, my Google image search won't load.
Oh, of course. Let's look it up.
Somebody's becoming rather spiky.
You
are
frustrating.
Well, no, I don't even care. All right, see, now I'm looking at a picture of them in The Lost Boys, and their hair is the same color.
Okay, Corey Feldman always had the longer, shaggier hair, and he had the bandana around his head.
Really?
That's Corey Feldman. Corey Haim was the blonde, cute one that all the girls had a crush on.
See, in this photo, they both have dark brown hair. Now, in this photo, they both have blonde hair.
Oh, my God. What photos?
Let's see. Okay, I'm going to open another one here.
That isn't blonde.
Corey Feldman has lighter hair. Feldman. This is lighter hair. Yeah, that's lighter hair than that.
The sun hitting it.
That's not the sun hitting it.
That's lighter.
That is lighter hair than that.
That is brown, and that's
blonde.
That is a reflection from the sun.
Shut up. All right, London Bridge is falling down.
And I told you it has short, spiky hair, and Corey Feldman has long... ratty hair.
Well, that's only true
in every movie that they made in the 80s they're known for.
All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
God damn, get it right. Feldman's got dark hair. Haim's got light hair. I don't know why I even watched the show, but I did.
Oh, you watch? Now, wait, hold on. You have watched the two Coreys.
Yeah, the lead into it.
Do you
yeah,
find that it's...
Setup.
Do you find it interesting yet sad and oddly depressing? Not unlike this program.
More depressing than ever interesting.
If
you want to go down and you want to just feel really, really lousy, watch that show.
Here's what the guy says. Let me just read you the email here. I can't quite put my finger on it. He says, you wouldn't think Corey Haim would be whining to Feldman and his wife about being alone and then talking into going into speed dating. It's not like they're douchebags.
Oh,
not
is Corey Feldman already single? Because he just got married on The Surreal Life like 2 years ago.
There's this dangling participle on this. He said he wouldn't think Corey Haim would be whining to Feldman and his wife about being alone. Yeah, so I guess Corey Haim is single, but Corey Feldman is married. And you know that's like a Bonaducci thing. You know that's just some girly, you know, picked up anew for 5 minutes. He says, you just find yourself feeling sorry for them. I've tried and I can't figure out anymore. I'm at a loss. All right, well, there you go. I don't plan on watching it, by the way, but I do appreciate the fact that it gave us this massive argument about the color of their hair.
Just got to know, dude.
Yeah.
Sarah's on top of it.
No, it's true. Thank you, sir.
Get past it.
All right, bye now. That's really what...
That was the stupidest argument we've ever had, and I cannot believe that you held out for so long.
That's what... based on this photograph, I still believe that I'm right. Because photograph clearly shows... I sound
seriously?
Like Clyde now. This photograph clearly shows Corey Feldman with blondish hair.
What? You know you're wrong. You know you're wrong.
I'm not.
I'm just going to... I'm leaving it alone. Because you know you're wrong, and everyone knows I'm right.
Look, I'm not saying that, like, I've known them personally. Now I got to look up the Stand By Me photo.
Look, this is exactly what they're known for.
Me.
Can't believe I'm getting all high-pitched.
Feldman.
Here, Rick, look. They look like.
Your voice is actually cracking. What movie is that? Is that the Frog Brother? No, that's not Lost Boys. What movie is that?
I don't know.
Okay, I just have one thing I want you to look at. Okay.
Is it another one where their hair is reflecting in the sun?
I want you to please come here and just look at this photograph. And then this is the last thing I'll say about it.
You're not saying anything. You're showing me something.
No. I'm saying that I want you to come look at this photograph. Okay. Please now to look at this photograph and admit that that is essentially blonde hair.
That is not blonde.
Are you kidding me?
That's like
you're
light
being difficult.
Brown.
You are totally being
that
intentionally.
Is light
that is blonde
that,
hair.
You know what? You're taking the parts that are like have sun on them and like thinking.
I'm taking
they're
it. I clicked. You know what
thinking
I put in?
Textures. You know what? Is his skin yellow? No, it's that color.
You know what I did? I put in Stand By Me, Feldman, first photograph that comes up. He's blonde. I'm going to post this on my webpage
right
now.
What? I'm going to find another picture from Stand By Me where you can clearly see he has brown hair.
I'm wanting you to acknowledge that it could be interpreted as blonde.
It's light brown.
Could you
at the most.
Could you agree that that might be seen as blonde?
No, because I had...
Okay,
I had.
Now you're just wrong.
No, I had dirty blonde hair, and it was a heck of a lot blonder than that.
Blonde. Like we're all speed typing.
Trying to beat each other at a punch.
Oh, hey, Jim Roop's been listening to this entire ridiculous, retarded argument.
For him.
Let's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, James Roop. Hello, sir.
Woo-hoo.
Hi, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How much of that conversation just now did you hear?
Just the dishwater blonde hair or whatever the hell.
All right, well, let's not dwell on it, sir.
Okay.
Are you familiar with blonde actor Corey Feldman?
Oh, God. He's not blonde. Jim, will you help me out here, please?
I don't think he's really an expert on either Corey. I'm just guessing. Call it a hunch,
I know
sir.
Who Corey Feldman is.
Would you describe his hair as mostly dirty blonde?
Yeah, I've never noticed.
Thank you.
I have no idea what color.
Way to thread the needle, sir.
Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, so a couple things.
What do you call it?
Well, let's not dwell on what I call it now.
Yeah, he calls it wrong.
Let's talk about this. I'm unclear. I have lost such track of what the Chinese are trying to kill us with every day. I can't even tell if this is the same.
Well, apparently it's magnets and lead paint.
Yeah, but is this the same toys covered with lead paint that it was like a day ago, or is this a different set of toys with lead paint?
A different set of toys. It was August 1st that Mattel and the Consumer Product Safety Commission recalled 1.5 million plastic preschool products. Big Bird, Elmo, crap like that, because of lead paint. Now, today, Mattel announces 9 million more toys are being recalled, made by the same Chinese manufacturer because of lead paint on a car called Sarge, which is one of the cars from the Disney or Pixar movie car.
Oh, I'm sure Disney's happy about that. You know, Disney loves things that make them look bad. Disney just loves public relation problems.
And then there are magnets in the Barbie play sets and in the Polly Pockets play sets, and those magnets can detach and become a choking hazard.
That's in the Strangle Me Barbie. The Asphyxiate Me Elmo. Yeah. Jesus. Well, all right. So there you go. All right. By the way, I've just posted that picture to my blog. So
did you hear the latest about Simpson's book?
I just saw this here.
Yeah.
All I know is what had come out this morning, where it says, family of Ron Goldman's made a deal to repackage and publish the O.J. Simpson book, If I Did It.
Yeah.
And I guess the rest of the details we're going to unfold today, but I don't know what they are.
They were supposed to, but now it seems later in the week. But we don't even know who the... I think it's a New York publisher. We're not sure who that is yet, unless you have that information in front of you.
I don't. And all I know is what you know, which is it just says more details of the deal to be leaked today, but then I guess it hadn't happened yet. So, but we know that the title is going to be, what, Confessions of a Double Murderer or whatever the hell?
Yeah, but what's going to be neat about it, I think, is that there's going to be commentary in there from Goldman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They said they're going to keep the manuscript intact. They're not going to change it, but they're going to add commentary to it.
Interesting. So
it'll be,
this will be a little sideline.
I hope it's on the same page. I hope he doesn't, after the fact, say, you know, an addendum to the book, because I want it next to each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whatever Simpson says on this side of the page, I want Goldman to say, that's crap.
Kind of like how those articles in the, I think it's the New Republic or whatever, where they do those articles where you'll be reading something and they'll, instead of doing asterisks or whatever at the bottom, footnotes, they'll highlight parts of the text red or green or blue, and then over on the side of the page is a red or green or blue box that has sort of an expanded observation about that paragraph.
Yeah, I like that.
Maybe they'll do the same thing with this O.J. Simpson book.
Very cool. Oh. Now I know people will probably buy it now because it'll go to satisfy any money made won't go to Simpson. Hello.
I'm sorry. Somebody's at the door, apparently.
But
my computer is rebelling against me. So
money goes to satisfy that judgment.
He would have to sell a squillion copies of this book, though, right? Because, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's going to, $14 or something.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the book's going to sell, or do you think that as a society is past it?
I think once it's released, a few thousand copies will sell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to come anywhere near $1 million.
No. I mean, it's
$38 million.
It seems weird to me that there's a guy like O.J. Simpson in this case, which is still so notorious. There's still so much recognition. I mean, if you were to poll, you know, they do those things every year where they talk about, like, the most recognized American symbols, and it's always like Mickey Mouse has, like, 98% recognition or whatever. You know, the O.J. Simpson case has, like, 99.999% recognition. Everybody still has an opinion on it. And yet, I think it's like a meal you ate so much of. You know what it's like? The O.J. Simpson case is to America as Night Train is to Sarah Dillon.
Sarah told this story about how when she was a teenager, she drank an entire bottle of Night Train in, like, you know, whatever, 20 minutes or something. And to this day, can't even smell it, but remembers exactly what it tasted and smelled like. That's how the O.J. Simpson case is with America. You know what I mean? Is we had so much of that, and we still remember it, and we still have thoughts about it. We just don't ever need to have it again. And so it seems like for something that we're all so, that we were so steeped in, that paradoxically we just don't care about this book much at all.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I do believe it will sell, but I don't think it'll sell, you know, millions of copies.
So, yeah, no, it'll sell. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. I'll totally buy it just because I have a perverse interest in the case and the criminal justice system. You know, because I find it such to be such a microcosm of the everything in this country. But anyway, so it's all very interesting.
If you say so.
It's just, no, I mean, this country just continues. Every time you think America's going to get boring, you know, there is some additional wrinkle. So
that's why I still have a job.
All right, brother man. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you, my friend. There you go, James Roop.
You know, every picture I found of Corey Feldman, he has brown hair.
Can I just tell you this? This email says, Rick, Corey Feldman is hella blonde.
Oh, my God. What?
She says, maybe not bleach blonde, but he's closer to blonde than any other color.
What, currently?
Well, the photo, I'm saying the photo that I posted.
That is the light reflecting off of his hair. You know what?
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like Clyde and I talking about those Bigfoot photographs. And I'm like, that's a zipper! And Clyde's, it's not a zipper, it's a matted piece of fur, Rick.
Okay, everyone knows that you're crazy. Corey Feldman's always been the darker haired guy.
The best thing ever. I'm sorry? You know what you are? Just like poking. It's like poking the koala bear with a stick.
I'm just trying to find a big enough picture of Stand By Me so that I can post it. They're all so tiny.
No one's ever said that phrase before. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, hello, Rick. I just wanted to let you know that I think you missed on a pun you did without knowing it. You didn't give yourself credit for a rimshot or at least a Wawa. You were talking about making maybe a China watch, you know, but then you said the topic of China was Peking.
I hadn't really thought. That's great. Let's hear it for me.
All right.
Oh, I turned off my computer. That's instant karma right there. Let's hear it for me. All right, there you go.
There you go. You got credit for that. Yeah, I was just going to say, you remember the old Incredible Hulk? Because I know everything entertainment and superheroes.
Yes.
Is the best show ever.
Absolutely.
And I hang on every word. But Barry Bonds should be the sequel to the Lou Ferrigno, because instead of the Jekyll and Hyde, you know, how he transforms.
Yes.
He could just take the steroids and get all buffed up and get the larger head and the bumps on his back and stuff like that. Or they could do a Fantastic Four and they could invite Sosa, Palmiero, and McGuire. And they'd all be the brick guy, the thing.
You wouldn't like me when I'm roiding. All right.
No. Okay, that's all.
Thank
I got.
You. Bye now. Bye-bye. All right, there you go.
All right, I found one.
Are you still obsessing?
Maybe.
I'm secure in his blonde.
No, you are not. And nobody else is.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, what's up?
Nothing. Just busy having the best show ever, sir. Yeah?
I'm a little informed right now, but this caught my attention.
Uh-huh.
Can Goldman slander OJ in the book?
No, I don't believe so.
Because he has the rights to the name?
I don't believe so, and I believe that OJ is a public figure, and as a public figure, it's very, very difficult to be legally slandered.
Well, that blows.
Okay. Well, I'll be sure to pass along your observations, sir.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. Scotty's insisting that we get the Coreys on the phone. Scotty, do that. You get the Coreys on the phone, and we'll ask them what color Corey Feldman's hair is in the Stand By Me photo.
So frustrating. I'm posting my pictures right now. You can see I have one of a big one of the blow up of the cover of Stand By Me, and then I have one of him currently.
Can I just tell you what this is right now?
No.
You know what this is?
No.
This is one of those internet message board flame wars come to life on the radio.
It's not, because you have already lost.
You'd be like Corey Fan 52, and I'd be like Lost Boy ZZZX Blood X or whatever, and we'd be posting back and forth until like 4 in the morning, screeching at each other over the internets about this.
Okay. All right. Will you please look at my website and tell me? I posted a big picture of Stand By Me.
I'm trying so hard to run my show. What? Okay, I'll do that. But first, Scotty, we're going to be taking caller 5 here. It's 503-733-2970. Caller 5.
We are looking for a KISS enthusiast. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We are angling to give away our second copy today of Kissology Volume 2 on DVD. I would strongly suggest that you be a KISS fan because these are going to be KISS questions. That's with a KW, KISS questions, 503-733-2970. So you're not going to win just by being a caller. You got to answer a KISS question to win this because it's it really ought to be for a member of the KISS Army, as they say. 503-733-2970. We'll do that. We'll break. Tim Riley coming up. And then before the top of the show, we got another pair of tickets to see Richard Cheese. Another pair, the final pair, the last way to see the last show of Richard Cheese in Portland. Okay, where am I going? SarahXDillon.com?
Yes.
All right. Let's see here. Loading. Although you're using, like, the painted cover of the standby.
It's not the painted cover. It's the actual cover.
That's not a picture.
And then, look, scroll down.
That's
Who's
been painted.
Who's that on the right, Rick?
That's been
Isn't
painted.
Isn't that bizarre? That's so weird that the guy on the right happens to have dark hair and a big
The guy on the right is Jerry O'Connell. You're talking about the guy
that.
In the middle. That's
Take
blonde.
Take the picture below it.
Now I don't even know what we're looking at. Are we looking at the
blonde.
Same
River
photo?
River Phoenix is to, you know, the screen left of him, and he has blonde hair all the way down. He has brown hair.
Hi, Tim.
I'm not even talking to you anymore.
Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley from KISS. Since you live in Portland, you might just have a snobby, elitist, hipster dimwit living next door. Well, take my advice. Get a copy of Kissology Volume 2, turn your system up loud, and play it day and night until his head explodes. Remember, KISS and you will outlast that guy every time. For more information, go to 970.am. And thanks for listening to AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Fantastic. My whole life has been made worth living just by those one. The one little folder of sound bites here. Let's hear one more, shall we?
Hey, this is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley from KISS. You are broadcasting from deep within the KISS Nation. You're listening to The Rick Emerson Show.
Just gives me little shivers of pleasure to play that. I'm not afraid to admit that. It's 503-733-2970. You've got a little eight the canary smile on your face.
I'm just saying I found a billion pictures of him with dark brown hair. That's
mm-hmm.
all.
Okay. I've moved
right,
on.
Wrong. No, you haven't.
I have, sort of. let's see here. Okay, Scotty, so we're going to do the... Here's what we do, Scotty. We're going to do the KISS winner here, and then we will have Tim Riley give us the good news, and then we'll do the Richard Cheese tickets. But before we... we've got to clarify how we do this.
Scotty J. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
Hello, Scotty J.
Oh, there's those beloved crickets.
Yes. Hey, by the way, not to bring up old stuff, as Huey Freeman would say, but now is it? Can we ask? Is it you are opting to not go to Richard Cheese or spend more time with your beloved family?
Well, all this
or have you
talk
just...
about him and all this hype now, it's making me. I had to send Tisha a message saying, "Uh-oh, I think we screwed up on this."
Yeah,
one.
You lost the ticket.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, here's my question though: is it that you were opting not to go to Cheese to spend more time with your family, or were you told you were not going?
It was a little bit of a. I better not even.
No balls. Just say it.
No balls.
Okay.
That's what
you.
It was.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. So we're going to do the KISS giveaway here. What I've realized, Scotty, is doing this cheese giveaway on the air is going to be very taxing for you and hard because we're giving away a pair of Richard Cheese tickets, the final pair, to the person who comes up with the best excuse for how he broke or how he injured his leg. But doing that on the air would be almost impossible because you would have to get the contact in for every single call. And then at the end, you know, because at the end we would go back and pick whoever it is. So it would be very difficult for you. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to make this an email contest. We got about 25 minutes. So here's the deal. So as we do not leave our emailing listeners out, people who don't have or maybe aren't able to call links or work or something, we're going to make this an email-based contest for Richard Cheese tickets. So right now... this is what you do. You send your reason, your excuse, why Richard Cheese is on a bum leg, as they say. Apparently he injured his leg. He wants the best excuse so he can use it on stage tonight. Please email your excuse, your reason, how Richard Cheese injured his leg. Send that to rick@rickemerson.com, rick at
RickEmerson.com. The best reason that how Richard Cheese came to injure his leg. Send it to Rick at RickEmerson.com right now. At the end of today's program, we will pick the best answer, and you will win two tickets to tonight's Richard Cheese show. And, of course, the decision of the judges on this program, and by judges I mean me, is final. Blah, 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 blah. CBS Radio, blah, 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 liability, blah, 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 2007. So send that to Rick at RickEmerson.com right now. We'll take those emails up until about 5 minutes before the hour, and then we will announce the winner. So we'll do that. Rick at RickEmerson.com is where you want to send that right now. So, Scotty, that way you don't have to wade through these. I'm going to do this this caller five, and then we'll go to Tim. Hi, Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi there, sir. Are ye a Kiss fan?
Yes, I am. Well, until they broke my heart and my friend told me they put out a disco song.
Okay. But... well, you get points just for knowing that, sir. So, all right, that was from what album?
Dynasty.
Well done. Then this should be a cakewalk for you. All right, you have your choice here, sir. This is to win a copy of VH1 Classic Records. They're announcing the second installment of the number one smash, Kissology. DVD in stores now, Kissology Volume 2, 1978-1991, with never-before-seen European version of the rare cult classic film Kiss and Attack of the Phantoms, and, of course, 7 hours of interviews and rare music videos and performances. All right, so here you go. Do you wish to have a trivia question? Or a lyric to complete?
I'm going to go with the lyric. Hopefully it's going to be the classic Before They Broke My Heart with
right.
the Dynasty
Here's
album.
The thing. I will begin singing a Kiss song, sir. I will stop. You must then, you don't have to sing it, but you must then give me the next line, okay?
All righty.
Okay,
man.
Here we go. For Kissology Volume 2 on DVD. She looked good. She looked hotter than hell. All covered in satins and lace. I looked at her, and it was just too clear.
I had to get on the case.
Fantastic. Well done, sir. You have won a copy of Kissology Volume 2, 1978-1991, in stores now. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Quick thing.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the evil robot band Kiss used for their song to help for the... the evil scientist for the tear up the park?
Rip, 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 and destroy.
Okay, you get points too then.
Bam! There you go. All right, I'm put you on hold. Scotty, you'll get your information. This is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Gasoline prices in Oregon are going down, down, down. The statewide average is now $2.79 a gallon. That's down 6 cents over the past week. It is the lowest Oregon price since mid-March. Apparently, the scallywags at these oil companies are selling off their summer fuels in advance to conversion to winter blends. That's holding the prices down. They may be telling the truth for a change, but who knows? A bid to overturn two Oregon gay rights laws appears to be, sagging. The chief petitioner estimates only 5,000 to 10,000 signatures required have arrived. The new laws take effect on January 1st.
The attempt, the forward thrust to stop the gay rights appears to be flaccid.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. A rare manta ray with a wingspan of 11 feet has been found dead off the coast of Massachusetts by some jet skiers. It's huge, said a New England aquarium representative. Its wingspan is 11 feet from tip to tip.
It's huge.
Why, that's 7 feet 8 inches long, and it weighs 500 to 600 pounds. It's unclear how the creature died. This type of ray can be found anywhere from Brazil all the way up the East Coast, but normally does not like to get out of tropical waters. Rehab singer Amy Winehouse continues to recover after suffering from exhaustion.
Mm.
The BBC says the 23-year-old Winehouse
is
still
tired of lifting this bottle to my mouth.
Under doctor's orders. About her bout with exhaustion, Winehouse's upcoming performances have been canceled, including two appearances at Rolling Stones concerts. She was supposed to be appearing in the UK. Pop singer Clay Aiken's fan base may not be as dedicated as first thought. The Off-Broadway show, The Musical, a musical based on the worship of Clay Aiken, closed following its debut performance on Sunday due to a lack of advance ticket sales.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was it called?
A musical based on the worship of Clay Aiken.
But, I mean, was there a title?
That was it.
You can't...
What?
Idol, The Musical, a musical based on the worship of Clay Aiken.
That's just stupid. I would have gone with Aiken Breaky Heart.
Mm-hmm. Due to a lack of advance ticket sales, a lack of positive feedback from audience members and critics, and a lack of substantial financial resources.
But the costumes are very realistic.
Mm-hmm. A man wearing a mop as a disguise tried to rob a gas station in Florida, but left empty-handed. The would-be robber demanded cash for the register, but the clerk stalled, and the man ran out of the store, and his mop fell off. British men may be able to teach the world a thing or two in the bedroom. The New York Daily News reports a new ranking gives British men A for sexual satisfaction. They rank atop a list published in Men's Health magazine on sale today. Guys in the U.S. only rank a mediocre 10th out of 20 countries.
Most in your face.
Most shocking could be Italy, lying revered for its romance. They ranked it last, earning an F. The factor that brought down American men is they're having sex less than twice a week on the average. Only guys in Germany, well, who would doubt that, and Malaysia get it on for less. Why, that shocks me for Germany. Men's Health rated sex lives based on marriage and divorce rates, number of partners, frequency, sexual satisfaction, and affairs. That's it. Oh, five fell from to their deaths from a Ferris wheel in South Korea.
How could you have forgotten that?
I was just looking at the picture.
You know what would be better about that story is if this guy was reporting it.
Fire crash leaves three people dead. Police in Nebraska say a rental truck carrying two people lost control, crossed the median, and collided head-on with a semi-truck. Both trucks burst into flames, and witnesses say there were several explosions. Excuse me. The two people in the room... The two people in the rental truck and the driver of the semi... This is a sad story. Excuse me. Were killed. Crews say they had fires contained in about 10 minutes.
And unfortunately, they cut it off there because you can tell he's about to go in another laughing jag. The best part about this, and this is a thing I'll post this in my blog later. The best part about this is if you watch this, just because he's on screen for about the first 4 seconds, and then they go to the footage of the smoking ruin. You can see, just as they cut away, you can see the smile beginning to cross his face. Like, there's just like a blink where you can catch him starting to lose it.
A fire crash leaves three people dead. Police in Nebraska.
Right there. Right as they cut to the smoldering car, you can just see him starting to lose control. It's that's fantastic. All right, so did we ever give a ranking to the guy from WSMN?
No, we did not.
So...
On a scale of 10, what would you give him?
I really don't. Is this
it's
the guy?
The first one.
The guy who ended everything like this.
Yes.
And edited his sentences together to make it sound like he was broadcasting.
Not really. As good as Scotty does it, though.
No, really, no one edits the way Scotty does. I don't know. Do we have a little bit of that there?
No, I put them all away. I didn't know we were going back to it.
Okay, well, we'll have to figure it out. It's so tempting to rank, you know, to make the first one either real high or real low. Maybe we should just give him a solid middle of the baseline. Just
like
give him
a six?
Yeah, like a... Well, I'm being a little generous, don't you think? I think maybe a good solid five.
I think he covered Nashville well.
Well, that is true. He did... I mean, he did seem competent. I will give you that. Mm-hmm. I deduct points for the editing, for the lack of actualities, and for the fact that he ends every sentence this way.
He might not have a source for actualities, for all we know.
That's true. He could have at least put on a kooky voice or two. Do you feel it ought to be higher than five? This really is on
no,
you.
You're I would say five.
You feel good about a five?
Yeah.
All right, excellent. We'll give that guy a five.
And he probably had limited resources to do his job. They don't even have a lawnmower at WSN.
I was going to say, what with the barbecue up back, constantly setting the field on fire.
I sent you that picture.
Oh, it's wonderful. Just broadcasting from literally, it's just a field of dried out crap. How many of those do you have to judge?
I have like at least a half dozen, if not more.
And when do they have to be
by
back?
By the 7th of September.
All right, so we can milk this forever.
Oh, yes.
That's fantastic. All right.
We still haven't gotten to some of the stations I've been fired from.
That's wonderful. Really?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. By the way, we are accepting your entries in the win a pair of tickets to Richard Cheese tonight. Answer this question via email. How did Richard Cheese injure his leg? We have some submissions already. Bless you. We have these submissions. Richard Cheese pulled a tendon in his leg, curb stomping Steven Seagal in order to gain his powers. How about this? Richard Cheese injured his leg kicking down a door and running from a burning building carrying a kitten and the Shroud of Turin. Okay. We have this. Richard Cheese slipped in a banana peel. Yeah, that one's
too crafty.
It's not going to win. How about this? Richard Cheese injured himself scaling Mount Everest in order to retrieve a 50-year-old bottle of single malt scotch and a box of pre-Cold War left there by Sir Edmund Hillary. All right. How about this? Richard Cheese injured his leg from the repeated stress of pulling his foot out of the asses of his enemies. That might be a winner.
That's kind of funny.
Let's see. Richard Cheese was in the middle of a marathon Lindy hop session, and then Lindy moved out of position. There's sort of a delayed reaction on that one. Richard Cheese was helping an old lady across the street when he was kneecapped by a Boy Scout for merit badging on his turf. How about this? Oh, this is the Lindy Hop one thing again. All right, so there you go. So you got until you got about 8 minutes. Get your submissions. And the question is, how did Richard Cheese injure his leg? Best answer emailed to us before the close of the show. We'll score the last pair of tickets to the last ever Portland performance of Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine tonight at Dante's. We'll be there for that. You should be there, too, if only that were possible. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, let's give it up for the greatest newsman in the history of the world. Back at the top of the hour, all the way through like it's 4, 5, 6, and 7. Let me take a break here. We'll come back around the corner. We'll read some more of these. We'll come up with a winner for the Richard Cheese contest. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Show. We continue next. You stay there. The Rick Emerson Radio Program. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of our show. Here's a random thought I wrote to myself. I had this thought at 2:32 in the morning on Sunday.
You're so weird.
There ought to be a candy they sell for geeks called Pixel Sticks. I felt it was important enough to write it down and email that thought to myself Sunday morning at 2:32 a.m. You sell it at Fry's, right next to the thumb drives. Pixel Sticks. Ding. All right. All right, let's take at the last batch of submissions here. Scotty, can you just stay in here when you're done? All right, I'm going to get these final submissions here. We're taking email submissions here. Answer this question, please. How is it that Richard Cheese injured his leg? Best answer will win a pair of tickets, in fact, the final pair of tickets.
So people have been submitting a lot of good stuff?
Yeah, so what I'll do is I'll read through these all right now. I'll get the, I am reading some of them. I have read off the air all of them. I don't have time to read them all on the air. But I have winnowed it down here to, I would say, some of the cream of the crop. And so now from these, we will select the winner. All right. We have as our submissions. Richard Cheese pulled a muscle in his leg while trying to complete the full 245 Kama Sutra cycle during his last show's intermission. We have here. Richard Cheese pulled his groin doing something sexy with Kiki, the woman about town.
Oh, God.
That gets points just for mentioning Kiki. How about this? Sarah injured Richard Cheese's leg when he reached for her cell phone to grab Sarah's sexy sister's phone number. That's creepy. We're going to move on and pretend that I didn't read that. How about this? Let's see. This one says, Rick forgot his leg was still shackled to the bed when he leapt up to tidy things before answering the police knock at his hotel door, says Gary. We have this. Did Richard Cheese fall into a plunger in a shower in Germany? Rick. This was sent as Richard Cheese. Hello, Portland. Sorry for the limp, but the TSA tore something with the cavity search. Wah, wah. How about this? Richard Cheese hurt his leg kicking Rick Emerson in the ass for not knowing that Corey Feldman has brown hair.
I like that one.
All right. Some of these we've already read.
All right. We got about a minute.
Richard was in the middle of a marathon Lindy Hop session, and then Lindy moved out of position, and he hurt his back.
Oh, gosh.
Was that a banana peel? Richard Cheese pulled a tendon in his leg curb-stomping Steven Seagal in order to gain his powers.
I like that one.
Yeah, I liked it. Anything mentioning Steven Seagal.
Richard Cheese injured his leg kicking down a door and running from a burning building, carrying a kitten and the Shroud of Turin. And finally, Richard Cheese injured his leg for the repeated stress of pulling his foot out of the asses of his enemies. All right, sir, can you mute our mics there for a second?
Yeah.
We'll take a little
music or something.
Yeah, we'll. I'm sorry. This is yeah, it doesn't want to play though. Oh, do you have music you can? Oh wait, it's because I got to close my the Kiss thing over here. I'm sorry. We can. Oh, I don't. I'm sorry.
All right, I'll just play my profile music.
All right.
Which is kind of depressing.
Is it clean?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, I'm sorry about that. That's
okay.
I'm choking here. All right.
Okay.
Let's ponder this. Here's our pondering music. This is weird.
Yeah, it's
that
a
was
weird
just
band.
Strange. That was like that's the music you hear in purgatory while you're waiting for Jesus to decide
yeah,
whether you're saved
playing
or not.
Very well. And of course, it plays perfectly every other time.
Of course. All right. The winning submission: Richard Cheese injured his leg, curb stomping Steven Seagal in order to gain his powers, and that is Chris. Blah, blah, blah. I don't think his last name here. So, Chris, we will email you with the confirmation. Congratulations, sir. We'll see you tonight at Richard Cheese, the Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. The PA is Scotty J. The gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. We want to thank Lisa Goddard, Mark Shearer, Jim Roop, and, of course, Richard Cheese, who joined us today. We'll see you tonight, and we'll see you back here tomorrow in 20 hours. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down. Do thank you for listening. Try to help the retarded. Watch out for snakes. See y'all. See you tomorrow. Bye.